Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed that I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because, that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call them the
Dora. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So, how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of beach.
Son of beach.
Are we ready to go?
Well, what do you mean by we? Because doctor, yes, you know.
Oh, we were talking business. We're talking the yearbook.
That's true. It's PFW in Progress, and part yearbook. Of PFW yearbook. Is the yearbook.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Gang's all here.
I heard the yearbook was pitching Boston College on running an ad this year.
What the hell does that mean?
It means what it means. I heard they're soliciting an
Who's
ad
the
from
yearbook?
Boston
you
College.
You mean our ad? People?
Our yearbook. I'm not sure if it was the publishers who sell ads, or I don't think it was our people, but Boston College may be an advertiser.
The school itself, or football, athletics?
Athletics.
Because they're marketed through the Fenway Group, right?
Not sure that's supposed to be public knowledge, but now it is. So,
well, I think that would describe a lot of things we say on this show.
This is true.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Paul Andy, Randolph. And Fred are here. Doc's in the booth. Where's Eric?
He's doing the update. We get off the practice
Very
field a little
today.
Late today.
I didn't get a blog post up in time today.
Mine was rushed.
Okay.
But I got it up.
All right. Well,
I can always get it up.
Email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Last show, I had to leave early. I was in a meeting at about 3:45, and I saw Eric leaving the building. What, did he leave the show?
Oh, no, we had a taped segment. We ran the interviews to end the show, Seymour and Tank Williams from the golf tournament.
So he just called it quits for the day.
He was not feeling well. He had the touch of food poisoning.
Oh, is that right?
He and Jonathan Papelbon looked the same.
Okay, well. Eric's not here today.
You want to talk about, since you have absolutely nothing to talk about, would you like to talk about?
I have
about
a lot to talk about.
Mini camp action from today?
I have a lot to talk about, but just catching people up here. I just thought that was interesting.
Hey, Sammy Morris was back today, Freddie.
Oh, that's good. So tell us about mini
Patrick
camp.
Patrick Pass was not.
Today was the second day of mandatory mini camp.
Vince Wilfork was still there.
Was still here, which is great news.
Randy Moss was still excited to see him. Yesterday, he went over and stretched and chatted with Wilfork throughout the beginning of early practice. Today, they were playing catch, throwing a ball back and forth. So.
I hope Randy said, if I can take less, so can you.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well done.
Not?
Moss was in rare form today. I don't know why, but he was very vocal. During pre-practice, as like drills were overlapping, he was barking into one. He yelled something at Dante's group about footwork and the linemen, and then he was yelling at Sam Aiken from 100 yards away, and he caught one touchdown, and he jumped up and, like, high-fived Vince Redd, who was on another field doing another drill.
Wow.
He was just in rare form.
Wow.
Now, I personally thought the funniest Moss moment of the day came pretty late in practice. He caught a touchdown, darting over the middle, across the back line of the end zone, similar to the spot that he caught the ball and tried to dunk it over the crossbar.
But due to the wet conditions, he slipped and didn't get up as high as
But didn't make it. He kind of motioned toward the goalpost like he was going to try to do it again, and now, by this time, everybody is egging him on to do it, including Andy and me from the stands. Took a couple of jab steps and then decided not to do it. Turned around. Went
good. I don't want to be embarrassed again.
I don't want to get hurt either. How's he look physically? Because he is getting up there.
Tremendous.
Yeah?
I think
he's used to make it look easy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I've always described him. Everything he does, he makes it look easy. And he still does. I've not seen any problems with anything he's done out on the field.
Well, this team is loaded. We all know
Brady
that.
Was a little rusty again today.
Brady
His
was
throws
rusty.
Were off. Couple bouncers, couple high that really
Moss
sailed.
Moss caught a pass today that was high and away. He reached out with one hand, his left hand. It hit his hand, and he kind of like slowed it down with the hand. And, you know, you'd think, okay, one hand catch. Then he brought it in with the other hand. No. He stopped it with one hand, and then in midair, he just grabbed it with that same hand. And, like, you know, like you would palm a basketball.
Right.
He stopped it and then palmed the football and then kept going up the sideline. The guy's amazing.
He is amazing.
You know who else was amazing today? Well, not amazing.
Wes Welker.
No.
Oh.
But had a very nice day. Paul Perillo's boy, Darius Butler, I thought had by far his best day.
Okay.
Two back-to-back plays on Moss. One a little stop route on the right side. He broke in front, knocked it away.
Yep.
Very next play, I don't know intentional or scripted, but they tried to go over the top, and he was 20-plus yards downfield running stride for stride with Moss. Brady tried to throw it way over the top. Moss kind of got one hand on it, but really had no chance to catch it because Butler was just in his pocket. Now, Paul thought he saw a little extra physical.
No. I just thought it was physical. I liked it. I think that was excellent coverage.
No, but if it's a flag, it's a flag.
Well, yeah, I'm just looking at it. It's a rookie against Randy Moss. You might draw a flag in that situation in a game. That's
But I thought by far his best workout. I thought he was around the ball a lot. Actually, all the defensive backs were around the ball a lot today. I think Springs had a
pick. Very much so.
Wheatley had a couple nice breaks on the ball. I thought they had, as a group, their best day.
I thought defense ruled the day today.
You know, they say, you know, a lot of times when, you know, within a team in practice, when you're always going up against an all-pro, it makes you better. How much do you really think that that will help guys like Wheatley and Butler and
a lot.
Will Height going up against Welker and Moss and
I think it helps
Joey
lot,
Galloway?
So.
Yeah.
Because they're not – the other thing is it's not just Moss. It's not just one guy and one style. They get Welker and the Moss combo that's so hard to defend and Brady quarterbacking.
Right.
I think they are going to benefit. Now, in theory, the guys last year should have benefited.
I was just going to say, what happened to Fernando Bryan?
But I think
Bryan?
These guys have more talent.
Yeah.
So I think it'll take the talent and help hone it into success on the field, theoretically, down the road.
So,
and I also think there's a chance – that it can go the other way, and you can kind of get beat down by it. And you'd be like, geez, I can't even cover the guys on my own team. And you don't realize, well, the guys on your own team are among the best you're going to see. So you get beat constantly. I think maybe we saw that a little bit with Bryant and Webster. Now, those are both veterans, so they probably...
In the bubble, in the end zone?
Exactly.
That one day?
You know what I'm talking about?
There was one day when Bryant made a play and seemed like he pissed Moss off, who then wiped the field with him for about the next six plays in a row.
And about a
absolutely
week and a half
undressed
later,
him.
Bryant was cut.
Well, I don't think that it was that embarrassment. I think it was the embarrassment of a guy catching the ball in the seven and running through him into the end zone that was the final straw. Sticking with the defensive back theme, Sean Springs, very nice man, by the way, seems like. Had a large group after practice and a long discussion about his notebook that he's kept over the years. He's a, what is he, a 13, 14, 15, Paul, year veteran?
That sounds right.
Somewhere up there.
I don't remember.
Been around a long time, has a notebook on all the receivers. Was talking about, you know, Randy Moss is in there, Terrell Owens is in there, and just all the little things he's learned over the years, what they like to do.
So he keeps a
how
book.
To guard him, and he said it's just a regular notebook, but there's page after page, just all the receivers and what they like to do.
Like a pitcher would on batters or batters would on pitchers.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of an interesting talk, and he said he learned it. His dad obviously played in the league. Everson Walls, they played together, and his dad was always like, you need to know, you need to learn from playing people and use it the next time against them. And it was an interesting conversation with him. I like him.
Okay.
And then Terrence Wheatley said he hadn't heard about it and wants to know why he hasn't shared it with them yet and was hoping to get a look at it. So
okay, that's good.
Camaraderie building back there.
Yeah. But you say Wheatley's looking good.
I thought Wheatley looked really, really good yesterday.
Yeah.
But today, I agree with Andy. I thought defense ruled today. I thought even if you watch the end of the practice, Fred, you know they do a lot of hurry-up stuff where
right. They're
trying to do two or three plays and get into field goal range. Well, a lot of times the passes were incomplete, and they just had to kick the field goals anyway because they wanted to go through with
the drill. That was the drill.
Right.
You know? They weren't really executing offensively the way you would like.
Okay.
On that note, Gostkowski yesterday and today was good from long range. 60 yards yesterday,
wow.
52 and 56 today. Missed a shorter one, a 35 to 40-yarder on a run-on opportunity where they would do an end-of-a-half type thing. And then another interesting note from the practice
field.
But
Kenny Wright, that's what we want to know.
I think that's dead and forgotten.
Yeah.
Scout team against the defense today. You know, they run plays off cards from other teams or whatever. Was running some Wildcat stuff, which I would assume is the Dolphins plus
right. Whatever
other teams go to it this year. And your boy Edelman was running the Wildcat for the scout team, even threw the ball.
Okay.
So scout team work for Edelman at Wildcat, who has also been very active. Paul, like, says, you know, there's a drop-off there at receiver and, you know, somebody's going to get reps. He has gotten a lot of reps with that next tier, even sometimes mixed in the slot in various formations with what I would consider the top receivers
well,
and
I
the
guess
top passers.
A guy like him, you need to know now because you don't want to carry him into camp if you're not absolutely certain that this guy can help you either on the scout team or
Edelman?
Some other way. Edelman. Yeah.
Well, he's going to camp.
Why would he not make camp?
They drafted him to do that. They're gonna bring him to camp.
They might have to cut him.
No, they might.
They haven't
but not
signed him
camp.
Yet. You can't cut him until you sign him.
I'm just saying that you know there's going to be guys available, and the guys that we see now, a lot of them may not be there for camp. There's still some movement to do.
There's eight guys will have to go. I believe they have
right.
eight
guys
88
will get
guys
cut, but
right
it won't
now.
Won't be a draft pick.
No, as I said to him, Jermail Porter could be a candidate. The wrestler turned offensive lineman.
Yeah.
His feet are not what I would expect from a wrestler. I don't see the makings of this great athlete that transitions. He just doesn't look like he stands out athletically.
Yeah.
Be a candidate.
Athletic?
I had a burp. I had to take care of some business.
How's my guy Sebi Vollmer looking?
Looks good.
Yeah.
He's running with a group of offensive linemen that follows the group that includes Matt Light and Nick Kazier and Dan Copen. What?
I'll tell you about that later.
We're not allowed to say that anymore?
Nope. We're not allowed to do groupings?
Well,
no.
We're not allowed to say first team, second team,
and
third team.
We're not allowed to say anybody who plays with anybody.
What?
Just telling
when
you.
When did that happen?
What?
We're not
then
allowed
we might as well not cover practice and not
personnel groupings, block. You're not allowed to say who's playing with who at all.
So if you say that Randy Moss caught a pass from Tom Brady,
that's a personnel
that
grouping.
That's okay, but you can't say that Randy Moss was taking reps with Joey Galloway and Wes Welker.
Oh.
Then we can't blog, Fred. We won't have information to blog. We won't have anything. There's no interest. There's no notes. There's no end.
Are you sure about this, Paul?
Listen, I'm not upset about it. It was just because it wasn't when they told me about it, they weren't up in arms about it. Something I wrote yesterday about Galloway lining up with, it might have been not even yesterday, it might have been previously, Galloway with Moss and Welker. I was told that's a no-no.
Oh, I wrote that too.
Personnel groupings.
I said good luck, defensive backs.
Matter of fact, I used the words personnel groupings because I didn't, you know, I wanted...
We might want to look in today's blog entry because I'm pretty sure I used the word personnel grouping.
And then yesterday I talked about how they, as Bill often does in training camp and in every practice session I've ever seen, they worked a little with four-man lines on defense.
Right.
I definitely wrote that.
And I didn't say that it was the starters or the reserves or whatever.
Is
I
that
just
okay?
Said, no.
What?
No.
You're not saying who they are.
No, I did say who they were.
Oh, but what if you just said they did a lot of four-man line work? Would that be okay?
I would guess that would be not okay. But.
What?
Chris Ferreira, could you log on to the blog and make some edits based on the comments?
Don't tell him to edit. You know what? We'll end up with a blank white page.
Maybe we should have Stacey James as a guest. and just ask
that would be interesting.
Don't blame it on him.
Yeah, don't shoot the messenger.
That's the messenger. Don't blame it on him. It's not his policy.
No, but maybe he can explain it. I mean... What's the harm in saying, you know, so-and-so was out in the field with so-and-so?
I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, they have their reasons. I actually thought I was being careful to make sure I conformed to the rules,
right.
And evidently I broke them.
But seriously, we can't blog anymore. I mean, all we can do now is do interviews and do these little puff pieces on players.
I never said that.
But like today, you know, I think it's interesting information to say that Darius Butler did very well and, you know, went up against Moss and did well. That's not.
But that's what I mean. That's a puff piece about a player. You write a little puff piece about him. You can't write notes on practice.
But that is a note. Or if he didn't do well, you know, that's a note that's not violating any of the rules, I think.
I don't know anymore.
You know? Individual performances?
I just think it's woefully incomplete to say that anybody was out there and not saying
who they were
what
with.
The circumstances
I
were.
I agree with that, but, you know, what are you going to do?
You know, were they working on pass defense, run defense? Evidently, you can't write any of that. I don't know.
No.
I think we're going to get in trouble. I think we're going to have a tough time in training camp.
I do, too. That's why I don't think we should blog.
Well, we have to blog. We have to give every bit of information that we're allowed to give.
They practiced today.
We owe that to the fans. We have to do it.
I think all we're allowed to give is they practiced today.
No. See, now you're not using your thinking cap.
But I've been
your
using
very,
my thinking
very
cap.
Your very, very large no. thinking cap.
I've been using my thinking cap for the last year plus in ways to get as much information out as possible without breaking the rules. But now they're cracking down on that. Like I've always said... Like, for example, I said your boy, Vollmer, was getting reps at left tackle in a group that included George Bussey and followed the group that included Matt Light.
Right.
I didn't say it was first and second team. For all I know, Bill was going first to seventh team.
And I think that's fine, but they're saying no.
Right.
Yeah, and just so you know, we weren't singled out.
No, I don't.
We weren't the only
ones.
No
and or care either. Yeah,
we weren't the only ones that were cited for doing that.
All right, well... I mean, now we can't do camp battles, right?
I really don't know what we're supposed to do. I mean, to me, the number one question that we get,
you know, the camp battles are a big part of PFW. We need to show Stacy that from last year and say, hey, is it okay to do that this year?
Talking about camp competition?
Camp competition, camp battles, yeah. People want to know who's doing well.
Right. I don't think they're allowed to know.
It's the number one thing that people ask us about.
Yeah.
I don't think they're allowed to know.
You have to analyze the practice.
Why are you... Again, I'm just a messenger trying to follow the rules. Sort of.
Oh, okay. I mean, you agree with me, though.
Right? I agree with you 100%, but my opinion is irrelevant. Your opinion is irrelevant. Stacey James' opinion is irrelevant. Paul Perillo's opinion is irrelevant. There's one opinion that matters, right?
Well,
my opinion is never irrelevant.
Funny, I would go the opposite way on that. Oh, so often irrelevant.
I'd like to hear from our listeners what they think. You know, obviously they want to know everything. So
I just feel
but
bad.
Are they okay? I mean,
if Bill says I don't want it? Are they okay just saying okay, Bill?
I mean, at what point are they happy not getting info? You know, where's the wall?
February 7th when
right.
Bill holds
that's
up
why
a trophy.
I say I think they are, and I don't blame them for being happy with it because what the way Bill has done it has obviously worked.
No, that's
so. I wouldn't blame a fan for saying, well, you know, I'd like to know that stuff, but Bill has his reasons, so I'm fine with it. I would be like that too.
Just a quick side, Bill and his ways of doing business and reasons. Adalys Thomas was asked about Rex Ryan's comments. Obviously, Adalys, despite what Paul remembers, played for Rex Ryan with the Ravens. And you know the war of words you've been...
Yeah, sure.
Well, not really war of words, but Ryan's
it's
been
just
spouting
Ryan.
Off to Bill, it's spouting off to Channing Crowder.
Everybody.
And Thomas laughed, said, that's just Rex being Rex. It's funny. You guys aren't used to that around here. Which I took to mean, your head coach doesn't do anything that would even be a million miles near doing something like that. And that's why it's being taken with such
shock.
Remember,
Adalys Thomas got into a war with words while he was a Raven.
Right.
Or, no, when he came here with Ray Lewis.
But I think his point is part of the reason why it's so like, wow, around here is it's so opposite of the way things are done here.
Yeah, I think if I'm the league.
If Lane Kiffin and Rex Ryan were doing it, people would say, huh, it's just the way they do business.
If I'm the league, I like it when Rex Ryan does that stuff. I want the AFC East rivalries to heat up and have all that stuff in the paper. I like that.
But
if I'm the league.
Does it cross a line when the guys are threatening each other and I can beat you up and I've never lost a fight? Isn't that a little much?
That's all talk.
I'm okay with we're going to have a great defense and that kind of stuff, but now they're talking about one-on-one fights, and I didn't understand the tat part. Channing Crowder's all tatted up and and what that, and now Ryan says he's going to go get some tats so he's ready for the fight. I didn't really understand the whole tattoo thing.
I don't know.
He's nuts. I mean, I think he, that family, they're all nuts.
Yeah.
They're all from the same tree.
Yep.
Clearly.
Yep. So, well, it's going to be interesting. I think, though, that the Patriots will
kill him.
Do their talking on the field.
Yeah. I agree.
And I agree, too. And I just think that the number one thing that we get questions about is...
Who's a nice guy and who's a jerk?
Depth chart related.
Oh.
Especially this time of year. Yeah.
Everybody, you know, Andy and I were talking about Patrick Chung today. And, you know, it's hard to kind of just watch a guy when you're not having any pads on. There's nothing really to evaluate. It's hard to evaluate. A lot of, how many questions we're getting? Comments on the blog, ask PFWs, how's Patrick Chung look? Who's he playing with? Where's he falling in the depth chart? Do you think he'll start over Merriweather or Sanders?
That's another rule I broke today.
You know?
He was lined up next to Sanders.
So I don't know how we're going to get around this and give the answers to the questions that we're getting without seeming like we're dropping the ball and don't have the information.
I don't know anymore.
That's what I would be concerned with. People just think that we don't know what we're doing, you know?
Yeah.
That's probably accurate.
Well, yeah.
We do have Eric writing updates.
In a lot of ways it is accurate, but in some ways it's not.
You know, you talked about Rex Ryan and his war words. They did ask Bill Belichick about it.
Yeah.
And we've got that sound here. Doc, why don't you cue that up? Doc.
Well, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Rex and what he did in Baltimore and the defense that his team's played. And, you know, we've always had great battles with the Jets. So I'm sure that'll continue. It's a good rivalry. And, you know, they beat us up here last year. So, you know, they kind of got the last... I got last punch in on that one, so we'll have to, you know, it's a new year. Hopefully, you know, right now we're really more focused on Buffalo than any other team in the division because we open with them, but we know we're going to have to, you know, deal with, you know, Miami and the Jets as well, and we have a lot of respect for all those teams.
Coach, has there been more talking this year? You look at Rex and the Miami Dolphins players talking about their team to beat. Is it more talking this year than normal?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just right now I'm just trying to coach our team and get our guys ready to have you know, a good week of practice and get them ready for training camp. And that's really what we're up for is getting our team ready. And, you know, when it's time to play, we'll show up and play.
I don't know if you heard it, Fred.
We're just trying to get the center to quarterback snap correct.
Rich Ornberger could not get that done today with Brian Hoyer. Am I allowed to say that, Paul? They were together. That's a pairing. Did you hear the little at the beginning of that before he answers it? That's my favorite part of it. That was telling. That's the part where he says, does the scoreboard have a spot for 100th point? Because they might need it when we play him.
Scott writes in, and he wants to know, what are the rules that we operate under during, you know, training camp and watching practices?
I also want to stress, these are not rules for PFW. These are rules for
all
the media. All media.
Right. It's not just us.
That's why I said I don't want to make it sound like we're being modest here and we're being singled out, because we're not.
No.
You're not allowed to report on
Not quote anything.
You can't quote anything that's on the field. You can't write about any specific formations or personnel groupings that they're using and any trick plays that they might be working on. So when all is kind of peeled back, there's not a whole lot left that you can really report on.
But aren't there other – we're not allowed to blog or tweet
during
practice. You can't do any of that during practice. I thought that was kind of well-known based on our conversations.
Yeah. And that's about it. During the season, we're not allowed to watch practice anyway.
Yeah, we are. The beginning.
The beginning of the practice.
Essentially stretching.
Yeah. We're not really there when they're doing the strategic game installation
stuff.
Nor
should we be. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, too. I'm fine with not going to practice, period.
Ever?
The problem is this.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever, ever?
Forever? The problem is this. During training camp, it's a great opportunity for fans to go and see the Patriots up close for free. It's a great opportunity. What the hell is going to stop anyone from tweeting out groupings or pairings or trick plays or quotes?
Oh, nothing.
Everyone has access to create this content.
Wait a
minute.
You'd be okay if we only saw the players 16 times a year?
What do you mean?
Game days.
No, in locker rooms, after game, you know.
No, no, no. But I mean, we'd never watch a practice ever. Never see them work out.
I would be completely happy with
that.
No,
but what is the. I don't understand what your point is. What's the difference of the technological age have to do with anything? You could do all of those things anyway. If you showed up to. No?
What's the distribution mechanism for a fan to get all that info out?
Now you can go to past fans and thousands can read it 50 seconds later.
Right.
Right. So what's the difference if you've seen it 50 seconds later or an hour later? That's my point. I mean, what's the technology have to do with it?
No, no, no. I'm not talking about the tweeting. I'm talking about the whole idea of we can't say what happened.
No.
But we have thousands of fans watching the practice.
No, I'm talking about two.
Most fans never had the ability to disperse the information.
I'm talking about two different things.
Okay, which are the two different things you're talking about?
I'm talking about, you're saying that you don't care about being at practice. That's, I don't have any problem with that. If you don't want us to be at practice, kick us out of practice. I mean, it's just, you're right.
Right.
Wow, that would cut into our content.
No, but you still have access to the players.
What are you going to ask him about? Hey, how did practice go today, big guy?
Well, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Good, working hard.
I didn't see it, but, I imagine you're running with the ones.
Big guy? Do you say big guy when you talk to guys?
Of course not.
He calls him champ in sport.
Sometimes I give him a little point.
Hey,
little
champ, one. What do you think about the girl with the gym juice? And
the Jamba Juice?
The flapper with the gym juice.
The gym juice.
It wasn't it the gin and juice?
Gin and juice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Gin juice. Wouldn't that be sweat?
I understand what you're saying about the immediacy of, 1,000 people watching practice, and they'd be able to do whatever they want and get
whether it's
get
immediate or 2 hours
immediate.
Later, it doesn't matter.
Right, that's my point. So that's been going on for 100 years.
No, exactly.
Practices have been open. So why are you going to all of a sudden close them now because of the technology? That's
no,
my point.
Fans no, but fans couldn't report it in the past.
Why?
How would they?
On what? What would they?
Whatever they wanted to. They could tell anybody anywhere they wanted
to. No, but that's not.
No, but now they can disperse it. They can put it on the internet, and it's millions of people who read it instantly. It's basically the same as being in a paper, or more so.
If I want to,
it's worldwide.
If I want to tweet during, after, it doesn't matter when, what happened in practice, it's no different than Mrs. B, who comes to practice, doing the same thing. It's no different.
On Blackberries and all that stuff.
It goes out to the same audience. If I'm following Twitter, and if I'm searching Patriots, I'm going to find hers just as fast as I find the Patriots' own tweets. That's the beauty of this whole thing, So
what are you doing over there?
Well, my phone is vibrating.
You're like wiggling around. Did it make you uncomfortable?
I don't know if.
I get it now.
Yeah.
I see what you're talking about. I didn't really understand what you were talking about before.
But I don't know what the answer, solution, end game here is.
In a way, the media is going to get beat by the fans that go, because I'm telling you, you're going to be putting this stuff out there. It's going to be out there.
We're not.
No, we're not doing it, but it's going to be out there.
That's not good.
Fans are going to do it. In fact, fans who recognize that teams can't do this kind of stuff will get a little cottage industry doing it themselves.
Right.
They have as much access to practice as we do during training camp. The only thing they don't have is access to ask the players questions. But they have all the access that we have, and they have all the information that we can't report on. They can. I mean.
So if we just stand outside the ropes of the media tent, can we report on it?
As a team, I might say, knowing that, I kind of want to have it at least somewhat accurate and describe the right way.
Right.
I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
But that's what happens when, depending on who's doing the reporting, you don't know about the accuracy. We were talking about this. We were joking this morning. Dennis and Callahan were talking to Phil Mushnick, the TV and radio critic of the New York Post, and they were talking about John Sterling, the Yankees' longtime play-by-play announcer, and they were saying how when he does a game, Fred, you don't even know. You can't listen to him on the radio because you don't know what's really happening because he has this whole opinion or version of what's going on in the game, and you don't know if it's accurate.
Right.
And so you don't know, from the 5,000 fans in the stands that are putting together their own, as you put it, cottage industry, who knows which of those guys.
That's right.
At least.
Kind of like when Fred describes a play.
No, but I mean.
Dave Thomas making it look easy.
We all make mistakes. The media guys aren't infallible. I'm not trying to say that. But at least you have that name recognition.
Right.
You say, okay, I know Mike.
There's some accountability.
I know Mike Reese, sure. And I know he's been doing this for 10 years, and I know that more often than not, when he reports something that happened in practice, I've noticed that has turned out to be accurate.
Right.
You know, whatever percentage in your mind, 90% of the time, 95% of the time. Andy Hart, 95% of the time when he
except
puts something
when I say
up there.
Ron Brace was a third-round pick and not a second-round pick in 17,000 words of SPFW.
That's why I said 95%.
That jerk. How do I get your job?
I can't
give you've never screwed up at your work?
I can't give you the 100% because
no
you never
know. No
one
that's perfect.
But, you know, if Joe Schmuckatelli is putting something on his blog, I don't know if he knows what he's doing. I don't know. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying I don't know his track record, and I don't know if he's any good at what he's doing. I don't know. I might be, as a fan, I might be deceived into thinking one thing that's really not happening.
And those people can turn into reliable sources
sure.
over time.
Well, all it would take is two or three times I say, hey, you know what? That guy told me this on Monday. I watched the game on Sunday. That's what happened. And that happens 2 weeks in a row, and that guy becomes,
I mean,
to
is
me,
there any better
a valid
case
source.
Then the Drudge Report went from what the hell's the Drudge Report right. to now is one of the foremost
right.
leaders in
all
news,
you got to do
politics.
Is be right on one big story right. like that, and now you're out there. Scott,
by the way, Paul, I was mistaken. I saw this box. I thought I was going to beat Fred to the fried dough today. It was already half gone.
Not a good batch today.
No.
Too
last
overdone.
Week was the best.
Well done. Scott says, stop bitching, Paul. You still have a job. Many. Christ, you're everywhere.
That is true.
So
he's actually in one place, but he just kind of like overflows.
Freddie, big
places.
PFW night last night, Freddie.
Yeah.
Paul at 6:30, Andy at 10 on Comcast Sports Network.
Oh, is that right?
Sun Sports tonight.
Good
which,
job.
By the way,
good
can
job.
I rant? Have you driven in the greater Boston area, Fred, at night? Every road is being repaved. I'm going to not get too angry here.
I'm a little upset
swear.
At that.
You're a little upset. It took me 2 hours
well,
and 25 minutes to get
just,
home last
not
night.
Not just because of that, but to me that's low-hanging fruit. I would rather have the stimulus money be used at more worthwhile
I
projects.
I agree, because most of those roads worked. They were all in working
right.
condition.
I think
we're
just
repaving them because
well, now
that's an
we
easy
got
way.
This money, we have
right.
to spend,
spend
it, and we're not thinking
right.
how better to use it. It's just, oh,
I agree
just
with
pave
you,
a road.
I agree with you.
You know?
But, I mean, shouldn't you stagger some of those things, too, so that there's alternate routes?
Right.
128.
Well, that's a whole different issue.
93,
yes.
Route 2, 24 were all being repaved.
And don't forget when we went to the golf tournament.
And 495.
495 for a huge stretch.
All of them at some point were completely shut down somewhere. You're in the breakdown lane or some places you're actually detoured off the highway and back on.
Yeah.
I mean, only in Boston can you be driving on the three-lane road and it says left three lanes closed ahead.
Well.
Shit.
You did it.
Here we go again. He's unbelievable.
Well, it angers me. Who do
you
call
what it
for
is?
Something
it's
like
the
that?
The powdered sugar on the fried dough. It gets him going. He just
no. What gets me going is every road being repaved simultaneously.
Okay.
Did it really take you 2:25 to get home?
Yes, 2 hours and 25 minutes from 10:20 to 12:47 or 37 or some ridiculous
Eric,
time.
Wow. I did the 6:30 show. I got home in about 25 minutes.
I was supposed to do, but I didn't have a shirt.
How many people do you think that are traveling behind Andy in a car look at that head and say, what the hell is that?
It's like Sputnik.
Guy's wearing a football helmet in his truck.
That's
a good one, Fred.
Okay. Walter writes in, are you allowed to
you
report?
You got the Andy stamp of approval.
Walter writes in and says, are you allowed to report the positional groupings and the sort at a practice open to the public? The answer is no.
No.
That's what we're talking about. Even a training camp, I'm assuming. We're not going to be able
yeah,
to do
our
that,
rules
right?
are the same. That sheet they pass out is the same when we're
yeah.
there watching
now,
practice.
Now, that might be, you know, that you brought that up. That might be why this is the first time we've really been sort of talked to about the personnel groupings part of it, because this is something that was closed, and maybe they're a little bit more lenient with maybe the same thing that I wrote yesterday would have been overlooked in training camp. Because they figure that
well,
it's open
so
and anybody
do you
could
think
have done
we will
it.
Be
I'll,
able
I'll,
to?
I don't know. I don't know. I'll check on it.
Yeah.
I'll check on it.
Because it's also kind of ridiculous when all these fans are there. And some
we
of them,
were just talking about
some
that.
Of them have their own website.
Eric's on the show.
Yeah. You know, Twitter yeah. accounts. And
I know.
Good job on the update, Eric.
I was going to say,
stuff today
once they find
here.
Out that we're not allowed to do this,
you know, we get all
you could create
up.
A little cottage industry, you know, what the media can't say, .com, you know.
Good luck with that.
Thank you, Paul.
You know, well, how you feeling?
Better.
You better?
Yeah.
Was it food poisoning?
It was. I'm pretty sure it was.
How much? Did you lose any weight?
I don't have any to lose. Jeez.
I know, but I've had three bouts of food poisoning in my life, and it's not. What the hell's going on? It's not fun.
You probably getting in trouble. Does it all say right. blog problem?
We have a chance that Rachel Nance could
we'll
be calling
We'll take a break.
In,
we'll so. Be right back.
Rachel Nance might be calling.
The world's greatest soccer stars come to Boston on Sunday, July 26th at 6 p.m. AC Milan takes on city rival Inter Milan of the Italian Serie A League in Game 5 of the inaugural World Football Challenge Tournament. Don't miss Kaká, Ronaldinho, and the rest of the AC Milan squad as they take on Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Julio Cesar, and the rest of Jose Mourinho's Inter Milan stars at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Get your tickets now at worldfootballchallenge.com, Ticketmaster.com, or call 1-800-745-3000.
Coming up on All Access.
Hi, I'm Steve Burton. Coming up this week on Patriots All Access, we go one-on-one with running back Fred Taylor.
First impressions, great guys on the team.
We'll recap the Patriots OTAs and minicamp and give you a status report on quarterback Tom Brady.
We are not finished! We are not finished, fellas! We got two more in us, right?
And Scott Zolak sits down with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
We've all got a lot of work to do. Got a long haul in front of us.
All that and more on Patriots All Access. Friday nights at 7 on WBZ-TV and Sunday mornings at 10 on TV38.
For pride, honor, and victory, the time has come to defend our trophy. Superliga 2009, the rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos Laguna, Sunday, June 21st, 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. And remember, MLS Futbolito Tournament before the game. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to revolutionsoccer.net.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other.
For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. AC/DC. July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for AC/DC at Ticketmaster.com, the Gillette Stadium box office, or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. AC/DC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff, you know, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW Progress.
That They're was providing nothing. Them a place to work so they can blog immediately.
You got to tell people what we're talking about,
the
Paul.
Philadelphia Eagles trailer. We'll get to it.
Okay.
But there's a difference there. They're not providing them a place to work. They had a place to work. They're providing them
but
a place
was
to work.
2 miles away.
It doesn't matter, Fred.
It does
really
matter.
No, it doesn't.
That people got at the three-quarter point.
Brian in Santa Cruz says, what's the point of covering the practices if you can't write anything about them? It's like Eric trying to sell paintings without people being able to see them before they buy. Not that seeing them beforehand has worked out so far. Understand the logic behind censoring the media. But why invite them if they can't talk about all the things they are there to cover? Oh, well,
sure,
Belichick,
invited.
I trust, it's just a little overkill.
I'm going to play I'm going to surprise Freddie here. I'm going to go devil's advocate on the side of Belichick. If I'm sure if he had his way, you know what, like the whole the answer to the question, why have the media there in the first place? If we're up to Bill,
yeah,
He wouldn't be saying, you know what, it's okay if the media is there. They just can't report on anything. He'd be saying, get those guys out of here.
Guys?
I was going to be crude. I mean, I was going to be crude, but I was devil's advocate on behalf of Bill.
I can't remember. I mean, we were always allowed to go to the rookie minicamp, but weren't we allowed to go to this mandatory minicamp in the past?
Yeah.
So why the changes now?
Well, it is in some ways a reaction. They've updated rules as these technologies have changed things. Like the whole, not that we were allowed to blog last year, we're not allowed to blog now. Plus, he's kind of clamping down on stuff.
The rules, though, have been in place for 4 or 5 years.
They get tweaked every year.
And it seems like they get...
tightened?
Not tightened, but more closely watched. It's like it seems like there's things that we originally got away with, you know, under those guidelines
that
we don't
anymore.
That makes it
sound so dirty, Paul.
But you know what I mean.
But part of it is the technology, because people put stuff on their blog that they wouldn't have necessarily room for in the paper, and the blogs are readily accessible to people who might be monitoring such stuff.
And that puts more stuff
more so
out
than
there
the papers.
In general, period.
But, you know, from a competitive standpoint, like 99% of the stuff Belichick does, I agree with for those reasons. In this case, though, talking about groupings, I don't understand how we lose a competitive advantage to another team by saying that, you know, let's say Vollmer was practicing with the ones.
I agree with you.
What's the big deal?
Because I generally assume most coaches are prepared. And like Paul's thing, the fact that Welker, Galloway, and Moss were together on the field, do you really think there's an NFL coach that you go into the game, those guys run out there and they go, I never thought they'd put those guys together.
I thought
on the
for
field.
Sure Greg Lewis would be out there with Robert Ortiz.
Are you telling me the twos are starting this game?
And by the way, once you get into mid-August, practices are closed anyway, so we don't know what they're doing anyway from mid-August on.
Right. Yeah.
The second thing is, the other part of it is I could see Belichick thinking, well, you know, I don't want Vollmer reading that now he's starting with the ones when I just put him in there just to see something. You know, but
he knows who he's with.
We don't need to tell him he's next to Logan Mankins.
He knows that his right is the all-pro Logan Mankins.
But that's my answer to that is I'm assuming that when Vollmer gets in there, they're telling him, we just want to see you do this.
Right.
And that or he's not getting any preconceived notion that, oh, I'm a starter now.
But whether he is being told or not, he's going to assess for his own who's next to him and where he's – if Tom Brady is calling out the play and Logan Mankins is next to him, he's not going to read my blog and say, oh my God, I was next to Mankins.
But does that force Nick Kazier to answer the question, hey, you've been put down to the twos. What do you think about that? You know, when it may not even be a fact.
But he doesn't stop us from asking that question.
Right. We can ask the question.
If I saw that at practice, that's exactly what I'd be doing. You know,
and then if Nick Kazier says, well, I got dropped down a group, we can write the quote that him saying I got dropped down a group. We just can't say it looked like he got dropped a group or whatever.
The most absurd example would be to say, are we not allowed to say that Kevin O'Connell, Matt Gutierrez, and Brian Hoyer are not backup quarterbacks?
Nah, they're all positional.
I mean, are we supposed to assume that Tom Brady and all those guys are in the same paragraphs? In the spirit of it,
you're not violating it by doing that. That's different.
My blog thing today is on backup quarterbacks, and I've written three paragraphs of which, after I was informed this, I now feel like I need to at least rewrite two of them.
At least yours are only on your laptop. Mine that I need to rewrite are actually in cyberspace right now.
That's true.
But I'm saying everybody knows that Brady's the starting quarterback.
Listen.
Anybody else who comes in is a backup to Brady.
Again, take
everybody knows that Dan Copen's the starting
center.
Playing
the role of Andy Hart on today's show with Eric Scalabrine.
I know. I'm going to again go on Bill's side here in that I don't agree with it. Like, you know, Fred, you said 90% of the stuff you agree with competitive. 90% of the stuff I don't agree with.
Right.
Okay? But in his defense, again, I'll take Bill's side here. He's extremely consistent.
He believes it matters, and it's not a fraud.
He believes this stuff matters.
Yeah,
and he's very consistent with it. So I can only take him at face value.
And he's the best coach in football.
And he's the best at what he does. And the more time goes by, and the more years that I've been doing this is 10 years now. The more other coaches, as you said, is there really a coach out there who doesn't blankety blank blank blank?
Right.
I'm finding more of those coaches out there that don't know their you know what from their elbow.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So. You know, in Bill's defense, I can't argue with him. He wins more than everybody else. He thinks this is important. It's probably important.
Chris from Stamford, Connecticut, some thoughts on training camp. While you can't write that Moss, Welker, and Galloway went together as a first team, it seems like you could write that Springs knocked the ball away from Moss for example, or that Crable did a good job covering Maroney out of the backfield. One-on-one battles don't give away lineups or formations. That's my point. Right. I'd say as long as you keep it to individual efforts or plays involving two players, like a pass from Brady to Watson or a tip ball from Guyton to Bodden, seems like it should be okay, especially this time of year when the coaches are glossing over so many aspects of the playbook. Maybe keeping it general will take care of some of the problems involving certain kinds of info. In other words, please continue to cover the camps as much as you can, however you can. I think I speak for a lot of fans when I say that it's important to stay in touch with the team, however possible.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I feel for that emailer. I mean, I think a lot of what you wrote, though, a lot of your examples, I think, are taboo.
I agree. I
think
you can argue that the opposite sides of the ball, you could, but I think any time you align two players on the same side of the ball, you can't.
I mean, that's
a positional group. I
don't see any difference between Brady throwing a pass to Watson and got Galloway and Welker being together.
Right.
I don't
no,
see
there
any difference
isn't.
There.
I think you can get away with, oh, who knows if it was ones versus twos, if it was, you know, Springs versus Moss. Maybe Springs is starter, maybe he's not, maybe they mix. But on the same side of the ball, that's a personnel group.
Springs knocked a ball away from Watson, I think that's okay.
Sure.
But I don't think Brady throwing the ball to Watson is okay.
Although I got
to
tell you.
But that indicates
that's
a first
offense.
I got
to tell you,
Springs
it's okay.
was covering
it's
Watson.
Not okay.
Oh, is he
I
taking
think
refs
if we specifically
safety?
Asked if that was okay, they would say yes.
Then specifically, what's wrong with Moss and Welker together?
Because that is now
how they've lined up for two straight seasons?
Well, no, but that is a grouping. That's a grouping. It's
and
a positional grouping.
But here's
and
my,
so is Watson.
Here's the
no,
question I'd like
that's,
to.
That's a tight end and a quarterback. It's not a positional grouping.
Here's the question I'd like to have somebody.
Positional groupings on offense has to do with the guys coming on and off the field as receivers.
I know, right. Exactly.
And running backs.
Exactly.
So saying that Watson is on there has an implication.
I agree.
Well, he's going to be on there sometime.
We know Brady is
he
always
can't catch a
be.
Pass if he's not on the field.
Sometimes you can't catch a pass when he's on the field.
You know, so if you
say,
okay, so what if you just said Watson had a great pass and didn't say who threw it to him?
I do that often, but usually because I wasn't paying attention to see who the quarterback
here's,
was.
Here's the question I have, Fred. If you, as a media person, are allowed to witness practice and to watch every minute of everything that has happened in a practice,
right?
You have absorbed information.
Yes.
If you're not allowed to report certain information,
right?
Why allow the people to see what they're getting for information?
Because the league.
What good does
you.
It do, Bill or us, for us to see what's going on, know it ourselves, but not be able to talk about it ever?
He has to.
What good does that do?
It's a curse.
So then why let us watch?
I don't know.
I'll fall back on if he had his way,
right.
We wouldn't be allowed to watch.
But Goodell has his way sometimes.
He's forced to allow us to watch.
Yeah.
He's then not why, forced to allow us to write everything we want.
Then why does the league allow that to happen? Either let us watch and report the information or don't let us watch.
It has nothing to do with the league.
Well, who makes the ultimate decision?
I think that on this team, from a marketing standpoint, we want the press at as many things as we can to talk about the team as much as they can.
But if we're not allowed to talk about the team, why
we're
allow
at
us
OTAs
to see what's going
because
on?
The PFWA complained to the league, and now we're at OTAs. Yeah.
I think the league mandates that you have certain things open, and that's why things are open.
But training camp, for example. I mean,
but I don't think Bill would have it open.
I don't think so
either.
I think
it would be as closed
but,
as could
but,
be.
I think if it didn't have to be open.
If I was Robert Kraft, I would not let him do that because I want my fans at this thing.
But let's make the argument now. And this is, again, a pretty.
Robert Kraft, I want him to win games. And if he says I win games in August,
this
let's
is in 2004, em. In 2003, in 2001, we won plenty of games. And we had open practice at training camp. I mean, I don't, you know, come
well,
on.
No, now, but my now point you're would getting be, to my side, Fred. You mean they actually won because they were better than the other team?
No, but my point would be Bill would have argued from the beginning, I want training camp closed.
Right.
He had to have it open. So, yes, you won games with open, but he would have preferred it closed.
And I highly doubt it. And I know
you're
right.
There's no team in the NFL that has a closed training camp.
No.
I'm just saying.
The only time that ever happened is when Washington was thinking about charging.
Well, that was different.
And that meant that, you know, whatever.
Right.
So, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
You know what I meant. You know, you could connect the dots there. It's like a yada, yada, yada.
Maybe we should move on to football since this could be the last show where we discuss football.
Why don't we move on to Orlando from Springfield, who's on the phone. Orlando, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing all right. We're just bitching.
Big O.
Hey, listen, I got to tell you, man, I am, like, thoroughly impressed with this show. Man, every show I seem to hear from you guys seems to get better. The Andre Tippett show that you guys had a couple weeks back, had to be the best show I ever heard from.
Oh, is that right? Well, good.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
We'll let Andre know that, too.
It helps to have a Hall of Famer carrying you.
Well, I mean, it wasn't only Andre. It's the fact that it's like, all right, you had Andre Tippett, probably one of the greatest Patriots of all time. You know, you guys had the whole Michael Vick discussion. I mean, you had, you know, you guys, you know, bragging on Eric as always, man. I mean,
that was the only bad part of the show.
Eric, man, I know they dog you like crazy, man, but yeah, I got to tell you, man.
Simple minds. Simple pleasures for simple minds, Orlando.
But you know what, though? It does make great radio, man, but yo, if you're doing the painting thing, the picture thing, do your thing, man, as long as it makes you happy. But I got to admit, it does make good radio.
And we tell Eric, if it doesn't kill him, it'll make him stronger.
There you know, you he go. Can take it like nobody can.
That could go so many ways, man.
And that's what he intended, Orlando. Don't kid yourself.
And the more different ways you can think of is how Andy intended it.
Oh, my God. Hey, listen, quick question here, man. The Pats offense, between, you know, like with Brandon back and everything, I'm kind of wondering, trying to get your guys' opinion on it. Do you think the offense, when he comes back, can be much closer to what it was in 07 in terms of, you know, the different plays they're going to design, you know, the spread offense? Or do you think it's going to be kind of more like they're going to start it off a little slower, you know, because of his injury or anything like that, closer to what it was last year? What do you guys think?
It's a good question. And the other factor is McDaniels isn't here anymore. So,
yep.
You know, how crazy are they going to get right away? Or like you said, Orlando, will they come out of the box a little bit more conservative? It's hard to tell. I think a lot of it will have to do with this running back situation. I mean, they've got a pretty good stable of running backs mm-hmm. here. And Belichick is not the kind of guy, hey, you know, I got to force passing. If he's got, you know, three running backs who can run the ball, he's going to use it.
He's got a pretty good stable of receivers
exactly.
and a quarterback.
It's really hard to tell.
I think it's going to be wide open and diverse.
Yeah.
I think they'll run the ball, but I don't think there'll be a ton of let's load up and run the ball 40 times. It's going to be, you know, we've seen a huge variety of, without getting into specifics, personnel groupings,
right.
formations, different combinations of running backs in the backfield, multiple backs, tight ends, wide
right,
receivers,
right, right.
split, tight.
And from those formations, doing a multiple amount
I've actually,
of things.
I actually
and
saw some plays that reminded me, I told this to Paul, of high school plays because they're doing different things with misdirections and yeah. almost gimmicky stuff and personnel groupings that reminded me of, you know, the old wing T
but
and these
remember,
different
a lot of stuff with year, 11 guys on the field on offense.
But last year, but remember last year in training camp, obviously
that.
Before Brady got hurt, we saw the same thing. Remember we were seeing a
yes.
lot of this stuff.
But that's why I'm saying don't yeah. just say, oh, McDaniels is gone. They're not going to be as creative.
Right.
First of all, I think Bill O'Brien coming from the college ranks probably has some wrinkles, much like the guy who came from Arkansas, brought the Wildcat to Miami,
right.
David Lee. They experiment in the college game as much or more than in the pros. So I think Bill O'Brien is a very impressive offensive mind that'll put his stamp
what,
on this offense.
I'll tell you what, Orlando, if they're conservative early on, I think it would be more game plan wise than being hesitant to let Brady do anything because of his knee. You know what I'm saying? If they think they can exploit a defense by running the ball or short passes or whatever, fine, they'll do that. But they won't do it because, we have to take care of Brady's knee. I don't think that's even going to factor into the equation.
Yeah, and
more
by
choice than by necessity.
Whatever. I think they've got the perfect personnel on offense to keep defenses on their heels, provided they execute. It's all about execution.
I'm really liking the running back core. I mean, I have to admit, I can't remember who it was a few shows back when somebody kept singing the praises of Sammy Morris.
Paul.
Me.
No.
Paul.
It's Andy because he thinks he's the most disrespected man in the business.
I know, but Paul was about to say.
you guys got to admit, though, the brother got it done, man.
Yes,
he sure does.
He got it done. He kept the change. He was doing what Maroney should have been doing.
Yeah. And you need to promote that to your fellow fans because all the emails we get
they
are about Maroney
gone.
Or Taylor. People want to cut Sammy Morris, trade him. Nah. He's not that valuable. I don't know what they're watching because every time I see him on the field, he's producing.
Sammy the Bull Morris. When he's healthy, he's the most productive back that they've had the last few years.
But look how he was before he got hurt, before he took that knee to the chest that busted him out for the year. He was hurting dudes.
And, you know, it's funny because Morris, I think weight-wise, isn't that much bigger than Maroney, but they are kind of like a thunder and lightning type combination.
Yep. I agree with that.
You know?
Style-wise,
like Maroney's like the big, quick hitter.
Yeah.
And Morris
Maroney,
is the bull,
they can
but
work
probably very similar
because Morris has a little bit of that you know, I joke about me in high school, you know, I'm going to give you one wiggle. If you don't fall for that, I'm running right at you.
I'm going to put
no moves. Because he does that all the time.
If you can work those two, if they stay healthy, that type of combination.
That's
the problem. That's Tiki Barber.
Maroney,
and, you know,
listed as 5'11", 220.
Yeah.
Morris listed 6 feet, 220.
Right. But his style of running is more between the tackles,
sure.
more head down. I'm going to run through you rather than around.
Which is why people want Maroney to do it, because he has the same physique
right.
and could do it.
And now you add a home run hitter in Fred Taylor, who has always been able to be a guy that can break the big play. And someone in the media today, you know, when we're sitting and watching practice, someone had mentioned how all those times that Morris would have those 25, 30-yard runs, Fred Taylor makes those 60-yard touchdowns.
Right. All the time.
All the time. He
right.
did. In Jacksonville.
He did.
He always had big runs.
Yeah.
And
what
now,
are you laughing about?
I love
that
when Paul or I are saying something positive. You're like, you know,
he can't,
those
he can't
Southern
agree with
churches.
Us.
Amen, brother. Preach
he,
it.
He can't agree with
you're
us
like,
fast
yeah.
enough when we're on his side.
I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage you.
But
I'm,
then,
telling, I'm telling you guys, man, the way this team is looking, I mean, granted, it is only, you know, it's, I mean, we haven't gotten a regular season. It's, you know, the off season. I mean, anything can happen. But the way this team is looking with the pieces in place, and despite the lack of a pass rush that I see, I'm telling you, man, I got to take a Prozac, man, because these freaking guys are scary.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? I'm living in fear, and I'm a Patriots fan.
Loaded.
Right
they
now.
Are loaded.
We are all on board, Orlando.
Yep.
All
right, fellas. Hey, listen, man, I love the show. And, hey, I mean, how did I do on time? I mean, I didn't take too much.
You're doing all right.
You're
yeah,
the best.
Fine.
Okay, remember, I'm the Puerto Rican who keeps his calls under 3 hours, okay?
Okay. All right.
Well
done.
Wow.
Take care, fellas.
I think that's
wow.
a shot at Michael.
Now it's Puerto Rican on Puerto Rican oh, crime.
No thinking involved there. That's a shot at Michael.
All
right.
Is he gone? Has he been? I haven't heard of
Puerto
Rico.
Maybe
we
just started yelling at him too much.
Yeah. I think it's a holiday.
Maybe he cut his calls down from, you know, 10 minutes to zero.
I don't know. Orlando.
Well, they
won
average
me.
Out. There'd be
about
good time,
two,
right?
3 minutes.
Orlando
yeah.
won me over when he laughed.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com.
Like
speaking
hey,
of guests,
doing,
let's
Andy?
Talk about Andre Tippett. We're supposed to have a guest later.
Yeah, Stacey's trying to get her to call back. Confirm on the time.
Who?
All right.
I'm Batman.
Rachel Nance.
I'm over
and
here.
She
now.
Is?
Jim Nance's relative.
Daughter.
Jim Nance's daughter. You don't even know?
Neither did you.
That's why I'm asking.
Still didn't know.
No, but Jim Nance, who was recently elected.
Not the broadcaster.
No.
Running back.
To the Patriots Hall of Fame yesterday.
You guys probably remember him from the cover of Sports Illustrated in 1966.
The fans, you should know, listeners, because you voted him in. He's. Made it to the Patriots Hall of Fame yesterday.
Ostensibly.
And his daughter should be joining us a little later in the show to talk about that.
Yes.
So, obviously, Jim Nance no longer with us, but his daughter is really happy about this.
Very, very excited.
From what I understand.
She's not with us either. She'll call in.
She'll be calling in, yeah. So, let's see. Hey, we got another call. Mike from Sharon wants to talk about training camp reporting. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. You know, the whole training camp reporting thing, I think that's kind of a new wrinkle with, you know, not being allowed to say, oh, these two are, you know, in with the first group or, you know.
Well, we've always done it.
Yeah, it's
so.
It's not a new wrinkle.
Well,
it's just being
group.
Cracked down on, I think, a little bit more. Evidently, we've been violating rules that have been in place for a couple of years now.
Okay.
Because, you know, I mean, Mrs. B goes up to Stacy every year and makes sure that, you know, she knows the current rules and what's up, and she tries to stay within those rules. But I guarantee you, fans won't. So what are they going to do? Have, you know, security scoping out, you know, telephones?
No. I mean, that's nice of Mrs. B to do that, but
she doesn't have to. Yeah, she's not
no
accredited.
She's not
there under a media credential.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, I mean, her practice rundowns are as detailed as anybody's.
Yep.
Yeah, so if I was her, I would do what we can't.
Matter of fact, from now on, why don't we just, you know,
link to her.
Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously, these stipulations have been in place for, you know, at least four or five years now, and evidently they're going to try to crack down on them a little bit more. Now, there's a possibility, like I said, that they might see a difference between the open training camp practice that's open to the public.
Right.
And these media camps and mini camps and OTAs that have been closed, and we're the only
right.
vehicle out there, and maybe they figure, let's try
well,
to keep that
Rice
under the
hat. Well, now Rice, you know, usually before the practice, you know, he like either emails or texts Chris Gasper, who's because there's no Wi-Fi down there, you know, to put up whatever the attendance is. So I guess he can't do that this year.
You're not allowed to report during practice.
That's kind of a now that is new. That is a new thing. You're not allowed to report anything during the practice. No blogging or anything.
Right. Yeah, so, Mike, I know you're at every practice, so it doesn't affect
you as much.
Yeah, we're
lucky we have Mike right next to us.
But how do you feel as a fan about that?
It's hard because I want, you know, people who aren't here, especially since we're playing over in London this year, to be able to read up about the team and, you know, see it from, you know, Mike and you guys and, you know, others who, you know, are professionals, whereas, you know, but having to do, I mean, you pretty much can't say, oh, Brady throws a pass to Moss. Oh, big deal. I mean, is that really giving away, you know, what we're going to be doing this year? I mean, trick plays, yeah, I can understand. But, I mean, we see those, you know, maybe once in a while.
And Mike brings up a good point. We have a lot of listeners in England and elsewhere abroad. They
never
don't have
come
the
here.
Ability to come to training camp.
Ever.
They'll never have the ability to see a practice firsthand. And, you know, we try to give them as much flavor and notes from the practice field as possible to keep them up to date with the team. I mean, they're going to lose out on a ton of
now,
being a fan and following the team.
Does this rule apply to preseason game broadcasters? In other words, when people who don't, the 11 players who don't go on the field for the first snap of the game start coming into the game, are they not allowed to say that those are backups who are coming into the game? I just want to be clear because,
well,
you know,
what about
it's
NFL
a game.
Network?
It's a practice.
Is this the guy who did PFW a week ago?
If you're not allowed to. If you're
is
not
this, Eric.
Yeah, listeners.
That's a very snitty attitude.
Is this the anger that you guys are referring to out of Eric?
It's frustrating, though, because how are you supposed to do your job if the one element that's most key to your job you're not allowed to.
But they've never
execute.
Questioned what we do on games, only in practice.
Right. That's next year's memo.
Games are different.
Okay, Eric, good luck on the American Idol audition tomorrow.
Oh, you trying out?
Well done, Mike.
All right, Mike.
Okay.
Way to go. See you, Mike.
Are you signed up?
No, he was joking.
Why?
You should, though. You have a great voice.
That means a lot coming from you,
Andy. Something if you could get on
be
that.
Be good publicity, too, for
Wouldn't
us.
Wouldn't that be great?
Can you imagine? You could wear
It'd be
PFW,
great publicity for
be
us.
Great for
you could
the
wear
show.
Your PFW in Progress t-shirt all through the tryouts.
You can be the next Adam Lambert.
Shut up.
Fred right now is like, what?
I was just hoping that he was, you know, the one.
Oh, he's the one.
The happy one.
TG and NJ says, okay, I understand Belichick's reasoning, but I sympathize with Fred. So why don't we have fake practices, purposely pair up guys to throw off people? Kind of like teams using fake signals on the sidelines. Please don't get into a Spygate tangent. I assume Belichick would say this is too time-consuming. Can we watch the practice squad practice? I can't believe we're talking about practice. Practice. We're talking about practice.
For the last time.
For the last time.
Sebastian Vollmer threw a great pass to.
Now that would be fun if Bill asked us to put out propaganda and just write stories and blog entries about things that.
Yeah. John in Dallas says, you guys are making me salivate with those training camp descriptions of the offense and the various groupings at wide receiver, running back, and tight end.
Don't get used to it.
Is there a chance we could see Alex Smith line up as wide receiver in the slot or on the outside?
Yep.
Is he athletic enough to do so?
Nope. Yes, he could. The athleticism is something we've debated since we first saw him, how smooth, fluid, and naturally athletic he is.
All right.
And it's still a debate. We're still observing. And
I will say that
assessing.
They have used those tight ends all over the place. You know, there's five tight ends, and they've been lined up everywhere. I mean, this will be the last time we ever talk about it, but that seems to be what they're planning on doing with the offense. Is, as Andy pointed out to Orlando, very diverse. I think that's the word to use. They don't have a style. And I've been asking a lot of these guys, how would you describe the offense? And no one really has a way to describe it.
Good. Then the defenses won't be able to either. That's what you're looking for. Keep them off balance.
They don't need to describe it. They need to
No
style.
Matter what right. the groupings the defense sees on the field, they won't know what's coming. Because they can run anything out
because
of any
Because they didn't
grouping.
Read it on our blog. Had they read the blog,
yeah.
they would have known what was coming.
Of course.
Because Paul said, you know, they might line up right. Galway, Welker, and Moss. That's Paul Perillo.
If they read our blog, they'll be that. Even more confused.
I don't know what poor Rex Ryan's going to do when those three guys trot out there for the first play of the game. But
fight him?
He might.
Yes.
He's fought tougher
film,
guys.
Film
He's walked
studies,
over tougher
scouting,
guys than that.
Reading other teams' blogs. Yeah, it's all part of game planning today.
At the end of the
See,
year.
But that's what they claim.
The end of the year.
Can I just tell?
I hope Bill gets in the camera and holds up that ring and says, kiss this.
Kiss. Kiss this.
That's what I hope.
Are you done?
Yeah.
With your spitefulness?
Why is that?
No,
it's just playfulness.
Well,
Yeah, it's just funny. We're just not used to it.
That's true. Scott Pioli told a story to us, to Brian and I, when they first got here, when Bill and him.
I knew.
What?
No, nothing.
Alyssa Milano has quite a very low-cut shirt on, and I knew Fred was going to
like,
be dead
Scott
in his
Pioli,
tracks.
Did I say? I thought I swore or something. I didn't even know. The look on Fred's
no,
face.
No, Fred saw boobs for the
My
first time.
My goodness. About how when he was an underling in Cleveland, he read in a notebook about some grouping or whatever, and he claimed that that was the key to the game plan that week and blah, 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 blah. And
they do that.
They believe it. So,
all teams do
so
clips
to say that
and
they
read clips.
That, they do read it. Absolutely they read it. I just can't imagine that Bill Belichick needed to read in some hacker reporter's notebook that they used two tight ends or something, and that was the key to his game.
That's my point.
To me, it's a stretch beyond all imagination, but they think it's valuable. They think it's worth doing. So how can you argue with their success? I can't. And if I were a fan, to answer Fred's question, if I were just a fan and not a media guy, I would be on board. Whatever Bill wants to do would be okay with me.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. We've got a lot of emails here. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. What happened on Tuesday?
In regards
I left the show and I'm getting all these emails.
Eric was under the weather and hosting. It's a bad combo.
Don't listen to that nonsense, Fred.
How do you know it doesn't say, like, greatest show ever, guys?
It's what he just said.
Exeter, United Kingdom, says, hi, non-Hall of Famers and Paul. Just a plea for Fred to never leave the inmates in charge of the asylum again. Andy's persistence to get his Beaver Creek comment in. Eric's clear disappointment with the guy's lack of enthusiasm over Bannockane. Paul's lengthy tale about his mistress. And the debate over ice-cold water and whether the vendor was telling you to go down the street for a cheaper bottle all made me yearn for the Kirsch. Whatever you have to leave for, Fred, please send a lackey to do it next time. I'm sure Tacoma could take some time out of waiting for Doc to hand him the keys to the board. If one of the big four of Maroney, Taylor, Falk, and Morris had to be cut, who would you guys get rid of based on the respective showings and workouts so far?
Taylor.
Maroney, really?
Well, Taylor.
They haven't done all that much with the running game because it's a non-contact camp, and Fred Taylor can't catch the ball.
KK, can't catch.
He's been hitting the hands with a number of balls that he barely slowed down, Fred. They just deflect off, and he, as I wrote in the blog, his big play contributions will be coming on the ground.
Out of the spread offense with six and seven in the box.
You know, I know. I'm not fault. I just didn't know it. It's one of those things. You don't see a guy, so you don't know what he is, whether he can catch, can't catch.
But
he can't.
I'm sure he's a better receiver than he's shown in these couple of practices. But Andy's right. There's times that he barely slows the ball down.
Well, now, didn't he start off catching balls from Brunell, Mark Brunell?
And the lefty, played. The rotation's different.
Exactly. Very good, Andy.
I've been with you way too long.
Oh, man. 20 years ago, playing with a lefty. Despite the name, Byron Leftwich was righty.
We have predictions that on the SPFW that Kevin Falk will get cut, right? Or is that Craig Bunce?
No, Craig.
Never cut Kevy.
Craig on the in the comments
they
for the blog.
They can't cut Kevin Falk.
They'll carry four running backs.
Well, at least four.
Yeah.
They carry five.
So
five.
Those guys are safe, in my opinion.
But it's just a hypothetical. The guy wanted to know if we had to cut one, who'd we cut?
Right.
Eric, you're on edge.
You really are. I mean, are you getting enough rest?
No.
It's either Taylor or not.
What's going on?
Fred, a lot of irons in the fire, Fred.
Really? That's a good thing. It's better than the alternative, right?
Sure, yeah.
So what are the irons? Tell us. People want to know.
My usual stuff. I'm working on paintings,
so
writing
nothing's
books.
Different.
You know,
but why is it getting to? Why is it
keep working that picture thing?
Because we have, you know, a lot of busy work during the day here, and then at night
I
go
busy
home.
Busy work.
It's busy. Yeah, we're busy. We're busy.
You're busy.
The day, are we not?
We're busy
at
work.
Busy,
but
at
busy
work
is generally what you give interns to keep them busy.
Right. Making
what our guys are
we're,
doing. With
we are busy
off.
At work is what
okay.
I meant to say.
Okay.
And then I'm busy when I go home at night. So yeah.
And you're busy at home.
I had food poisoning this week.
What are you busy at home with?
What did I just say?
Are you getting enough rest?
Painting?
What did I just say?
Are you getting your vitamins?
Are you still using the color?
The color? Yes.
Yeah. So you're still coloring?
Too many male callers after hours.
See, now, why do you have
is that
to
what they call
there?
Them in the olden days? That's all I reason I really wanted to say it. Didn't like ladies in like the 1800s have gentlemen callers?
Yeah, suitors.
Callers, yes.
Gentlemen
yeah,
callers.
When they call, yes.
They had calling time.
What?
They had calling time. Certain time of the day, you were allowed to call on women.
Suitors would come to call.
What was
what
that emailer?
The phrase was.
What?
That
really?
Emailer's name?
Who?
The last one you just read.
Who said Fred kept the ship straight and narrow.
Exactly.
It was Tom from.
It's the kind of stuff you were looking for, Tom, out of the Kirsch.
Tom from the UK. you know, this movie thing won't die. This just came in.
Great topic.
Alejandro from Bogota.
Alex. That is kind of Alex.
He still wants the 2001 movie cast. He's got Charlie Weiss, John Goodman. I think we've
that's pretty much settled.
He's cast.
Danny Glover as Romeo Crennel.
Yeah.
Bulk up a little.
Reginald Vell Johnson.
That's a good one. Billy Yates.
Yates.
that guy named Billy in the Predator movie would be Teddy Bruschi. That's the second person that mentioned him.
I can't picture him.
I've never seen
him. You know, the one that cuts his chest with a knife.
Nope, never
yeah,
seen
but
him.
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
As a bonus, I also casted the PFW actors.
Uh-oh. These ones I like.
Fred is Kevin James.
Yeah, I could see that.
Paul is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yeah, you're a big Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Eric is Patrick Stewart.
I like that.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Very distinguished older British gentleman.
Oh, yeah. You're right. What an ass.
What an ass.
Further cementing his place as the Prince of Pomposity.
And Andy is Fred Savage. Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, I don't like that one.
Yeah. Fred, Andy was all excited. He's going to see Matt Damon.
Yeah.
No, it was that other guy.
What was his name?
I don't know.
I don't know, but you look just as much like Fred Savage as you do Matt Damon.
I'm more Matt.
One question regarding throwback games. Will referees wear their old AFL unis, the red hat and red striped shirt?
I believe so. I read that.
Oh,
yes.
That's going to look great.
I like it, especially in HD.
And one question for debate.
We're not going to see it in HD.
Live is actually worse than HD.
What specific characteristic made Drew Bledsoe a better two-minute quarterback than a normal situation quarterback?
That's a good question.
I think he didn't think as much.
Clearly accurate.
Yeah. He didn't think as much. He was
reacting
more. He
just loved to wing it.
I also think, and you guys would probably take this as a shot at Drew, but I don't mean it to be. But I think if you have the ability to throw the ball, it's almost easier to do it in those situations because I think that the coverages are a little bit looser and that prevent and loose
and
zones. I think if you can make the throws, you're going to have receivers to get.
Yeah. I think there's also less reading.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you're not going
more
to a fourth read. There's probably a first and a second option, so it's boom, 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 throw. Boom,
you don't
boom,
have
boom,
time
throw,
to sit
boom,
there
boom,
and
boom,
say,
throw.
Okay, this play is breaking down. I got to see if I can make something out of nothing. Or, if it's not there, like Andy said, boom, boom, throw it away. Live to fight the next play.
And you're taking some chances because you're trying to come back.
It's over,
whatever. So I think those all kind of fall in line with what he excelled at.
And that
clearly
might be a little simplistic, but I mean, it's definitely accurate.
Then
Drew
ask him to think.
Drew was a better quarterback in tight situations in last two-minute drill. No question.
Brian at Tuscaloosa says, I'd like to start by apologizing to Eric Scalavino. Last week I called him the King of Pomposity instead of the Prince of Pomposity. Eric promptly corrected my mistake and labeled me a dumbass. I'm sorry, Eric, for giving you a higher stature than you are. It will never happen again.
He promptly corrected me.
Fred, I know you'll be with me
because
on this.
Because he's a dumbass.
Have you ever been enjoying a peaceful night, not thinking of the dream that died in the desert, when a Gatorade commercial pops on and highlights the David Tyree catch? Whenever this happens, it ruins my night. It makes me yearn for another title. Absolutely, and I know the commercial he's talking about now that has the quick, transitions to all the athletes, and they have Tyree going down with the ball in his head. It's a Gatorade. And
see,
I know
Fred, if you just went like me and didn't watch commercials, you'd never have this happen to you. I don't even know what you're talking
about.
I've never seen
this. This is my thinking on that, okay? And I think Patriots fans need to get with me. I forced myself to watch that. And the reason why – remember,
is going to be good.
Remember the Da Vinci Code?
Sure.
That one guy that walks
himself
around whipping himself.
Silas.
That's what I insist we all do until we win another Super Bowl. We need to remember that.
Self-flagellation?
That game needs to be in the front of our minds. We need to remember how painful it was, what a lost opportunity it was, until we win another one. Because it's going to make this one coming up this year that much more sweet. That's my thinking.
Okay.
So right. I will flog myself until... Until the Patriots win another Super Bowl.
You really do
That's
need
our help. Boss, Fred Kirsch.
You really do need help. All My goodness.
Yeah.
Executive director of
Swing
New
and
another great moment.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
You and David Carradine, is that his name?
Oh.
What?
He's too dead. Soon. Too soon, Andy.
No.
No. Not when you go like
Ooh.
That.
Not a guy like that.
I might be able to look forward to a South Park on that one, huh?
Come on, Grasshopper. Just tone it down a little.
What does that mean?
Kung Fu.
Never seen it.
He was Grasshopper.
I never saw it either.
That was the most overrated show ever. People love
that
show.
It was kind of a cult show.
It was like a cult show.
No,
it was
I think 25 minutes
of the most boring crap ever. And then at the last 5 minutes, he'd kick somebody's ass.
My cousins used to love that show.
But it was just like 25 minutes of waiting for him to crack. And then he'd crack, he'd kick somebody's ass, and then he'd walk away into the desert again. It was a real bad show.
Kind of like how I go out on this show. Spend 25 minutes waiting for me to do something, then I go crazy and kick your ass.
I was thinking about you last night. I was watching an episode of Criminal Minds.
I know. And flogging, we got
a
Paul thinking about you at
night. Well, there was a guy in an office who was the serial killer, and he was just working in this office, and I was thinking, Eric, he's going to snap just like that.
But what's the new movie with Will Ferrell?
Oh, Land of the Lost.
We watched, apparently my wife used to love that show, and we watched one. There was a marathon on it, I think, Sci-Fi.
The show was terrible.
Beyond terrible. It looks like a bunch of fifth graders made the show.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing ever.
That's how those Sci-Fi pictures used to be.
Yeah, no, I know.
That was intentional. See, I think it missed the mark then, because I didn't feel like it had that.
It was campy.
It
feel.
Just
it
so you know, it was a Saturday morning.
It
was a Saturday morning show.
But it didn't.
It was for kids.
I know.
Yeah, I think you might. I mean, it wasn't a good show.
Kind of like Doctor Who. Do you remember Doctor Who?
One of those.
Sure. That was kind of a campy. But it was Sid and Marty Croft,
right? That was a Croft thing. All their shows were the same. They were all cheesy as all hell. They had.
So you tell me, there's some guy.
H.R. Puffin.
H.R. Puffin stuff was one. I don't know what you think that might have been, but you're right. The Bugaloos.
Right. Wait a minute. I'm right.
Oh yeah. Late '60s. That show came out. What do you think they were talking about?
Oh, now I think you mean drugs.
Yeah.
Do you remember like how big Saturday morning cartoons used to be?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Before the fall season, all the networks would
Tom, Joe, who was that? We needed the Kirsch.
All the networks would have their fall preview shows, like the Friday night in the fall, to show you what all the new shows were going to be for that season. Remember watching those?
No, nope.
I don't remember.
Oh man, those were big.
You know, there's a whole new set of DVDs out. For Saturday morning cartoons, it's got like all the Scooby-Doo episodes, all the Kong Kong Fooies, all the really great Saturday morning cartoons are all now on DVD.
Time Life collection?
No, it's I forgot who, like Hanna-Barbera or whoever. All you know, like
the All-Star Challenge.
Oh,
that might be on there too.
That was another one of those.
I love
that. Was another one.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they were very
only on PFW in Progress. Can you get Saturday morning cartoon talk?
In between practices that we're not allowed to talk about.
Well, you're going to get a lot more of it in the future.
Yeah, stay tuned to PFW in Progress next week so we break down Hanna-Barbera.
Doc tells me that Sonny Landham was the guy from Predator. Sonny Landham.
I need a picture. I don't remember him.
There wasn't one on IMDb. You may know him as a 1970s porn star.
Why, Eric?
I was just throwing that out there.
He said it, not me. He's looking at me like...
I didn't direct it to him. I just threw it out there.
Andrew in the Ukraine writes in, it's been a while, but these are a few observations. Rex Ryan does not want to win games in the division. Now he's going after Channing Crowder. Next up, bulletin board material for T.O. This week I heard Robert Kraft on EEI say this was the hottest schedule of the Belichick era. I think he meant hardest, but he said hottest.
Certainly not.
Anyway, that's comforting.
I don't think
they'll
come anywhere near the 2007 schedule they went undefeated with.
That's comforting because the last time we had one of those, we went 16-0. I remember Andy Hart specifically mentioning how the NFC East had no cupcakes. Obviously, the schedule will be harder than last year, but I think in a deceiving fashion. The bottom dwellers will not be as bad, but I don't believe that the top teams from this year match up to the top teams from last year.
So it sort of evens itself out.
Yeah, there is no Pittsburgh or anyone comparable this year. I think Carolina and Baltimore are probably the hardest teams on the schedule, with Tennessee and Indianapolis poised to slip into the above-average category with Atlanta and maybe Houston. I don't have any doubt that the Saints will be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They are the new Cincinnati, you know, the team that finishes near the top one year and then is the chic pick for the next decade.
I know they have coaching turnover aplenty over there, but I'm not going to count out the Colts until Peyton Manning's not there anymore.
I'm counting them out.
I'm not counting them out either, but I do think that they're going to
they might take
drop
a step back,
a little
but
bit.
I, you know, when that game comes, I don't think
right.
that they're
that will not,
not going to be
round.
At 100%.
That won't be a cupcake.
That will not be a cupcake game. That'll be a tough game. I actually agree wholeheartedly with the whole assessment of that schedule.
Actually, I'll have to wait until
I think
December
Carolina,
31st, I'll let you know.
Carolina and Baltimore, Indy and Tennessee, maybe in a notch below that. Atlanta might be good. Who knows? They were good last year. I don't know if they'll be able to sustain that.
It's up in the air this year, except for the
they
Patriots.
They don't play Pittsburgh. Well, that's true. And Pittsburgh. And they don't play Pittsburgh. Those teams don't play each other.
Right. In the regular season.
Let's see. Kieran from Ireland. I swear to God, Brian Lowe is getting gayer by every Patriots Today episode. Christina, anything excite you today, Brian? Brian, I really like the look of those tight ends. Christina, anything else? Brian, Teddy Bruschi got a rise out of his teammates.
Oh, God.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
Fred, please don't leave the show. The guys tried their best, but it's just not the same without you. Thank God you had that Seymour interview because the show was enduring a slow, painful death. Anyway, the quote from Seymour about the stimulus package was hilarious. I was sitting in a study hall. And one of those uncontrollable laughs just burst out of me. I looked up, and the entire hall was just staring at me. This was the second time I laughed out loud.
You don't go
loud.
To an Ivy League school or anything, right. do you?
After the incident, I was
he
kindly
to
asked
show.
To leave the premises, but the joke was worth it.
Paul, you were asked to leave?
Is that serious? Did you seriously
yeah,
ask to leave?
He was asked, he's been asked to leave.
Wow, that's
Paul,
great.
You're not fooling anybody with that comb over. Just shave it. There is an old
it's
saying
not
in
a
Ireland,
comb over.
If there isn't any grass in the field, you may as well trim the hedges.
It's not a comb over, people. It's just all
and
I
if
got.
If there's grass on the field,
play
ball. Play ball.
It's not a wig, it's a weave.
There's no attempt to fool anybody.
But
believe.
Good news is we're breaking him down. I think at least twice in the last 6 months he said, I don't know, maybe I should just shave it.
Should,
but it's going to look worse.
No,
not necessarily.
No, I think
no,
if
not.
You cut everything, the whole thing.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Everything?
Oh, you would look good.
I'm not doing that.
At least you have the head it down that. To like a, you know, a little bit of a.
I would do it. I would do what Eric does.
Yeah, just do that.
You have the right shaped head for bald.
No, I don't. I have a very odd shaped head.
No, you don't.
You don't want to do the.
I've been shaven before. I have a very odd shaped head.
You've been shaven before?
Yeah.
By who?
When I was little, I used to get the buzz all
oh,
around.
Everybody had a crew cut when they were
not
little.
Not a crew cut. I was shaved. I was like that. And I have a very odd-shaped head.
So
I would not
Eric,
look good.
Why would your parents shave you bald when you were a little kid? Is this part of your problem, this traumatic thing? Why would they shave you bald? What were they doing? What was the problem there?
I misspoke, Fred.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between a crew cut, as you so aptly called it from 1952.
Cut. I had a buzz cut.
A whiffle?
And a whiffle.
Yeah, I had a whiffle.
Okay. I had a very odd-shaped head. I have kind of a flat spot in the back. It would look really, really bad if I just shaved it with a Bic. It would look bad.
No, I'm not. Yeah, not with a Bic. Just get the electric.
I use a Gillette.
Yeah.
The electric trimmer.
On Gillette Stadium.
I used to do that, but they don't give us free ones anymore.
Just get the clippers and
those blades.
You know,
put you in the po' house.
Once a week.
I want to thank Chris with a TIAN today for
thank you very
providing
much, Christian.
Our lunch.
I love Christian. He
Why?
Our best
he really shouldn't do that.
He shouldn't.
I just, you know.
How's the water levels on those things?
You know, it's just not right that he should do that.
Christian monitors the water levels of the pilings under the city of Boston.
You're right.
And do you know anybody who works in the paving department in the greater Boston area and ask them what the bleep they're doing?
So thank you very much for lunch from Grandy today.
Sean.
That was excellent.
Yep.
Fried dough wasn't excellent. Let's not give out cheap grates anymore. It was okay.
I said excellent. I didn't say anything about
the roast beef was very good. The sub?
Nick writes in, with all the smack talk and the insults and even borderline threats, do you ever foresee these future Jets making dirty late hits, tackles, in or chop blocks?
Oh, I thought he was talking about our show for a second.
I did too, but no.
Given Andy's comment of the Ryans being certifiable, it's probably coming very soon. We know they are going to be as overly aggressive as humanly possible under this madman. So,
no. I don't think they'll be dirty.
I didn't think Baltimore was dirty. Certainly not the last couple of years. Now, maybe if you want to go back to the early part of the decade, I think they might have been on the edge there. With, like, Tony Siragusa, I thought he was a dirty player.
Marie is really looking in the bright side of things. She says Tom Brady's knee is okay, but what if he has another one?
He does.
He has two knees, actually.
That's her entire email. So.
If he has another torn ACL, he'll miss the year and things won't be as good.
Yeah. And the chances of that, I think, are less
than 5%. You're looking at a dogfight. You're looking at a dogfight to make the playoffs like last year.
I mean, that's
right.
That hardly ever happens.
If he's out for the year, you're looking at another
dogfight. Kevin O'Connell will become a star, and
My guess is it'll be more than a dogfight.
Yeah, it's a tougher schedule.
Tougher schedule, and O'Connell's younger.
Less experience.
I mean, I know he played in college, but he was a runaround kind of guy in college. Now you're asking him to come in and lead a passing offense with pretty intricate
and only his second
scheme.
Year, whereas Castle was in his fourth.
He'd been here longer. And plus, I also just think to just assume that backup quarterbacks are going to continue to just come on in and be great is...
I think the chances of that happening again so soon are slim to none.
On most teams. But on this team, it's a very good chance. Sam in Chicago, thanks as always for your dedication and bringing the best in Pat's coverage. I understand the Patriots not wanting such in-depth reporting about their pairings in practice. Other coaches could take tips and get ideas for their own clubs by the style of practice the Pats use. Bill and the players are great, but it's the chemistry Bill can see with different combinations of talent that makes the Pats excellent. Thanks as always, and my girlfriend looked at me funny during your break when you played the Seymour audio clip.
Because it was funny the way he worded it.
What did he say? I didn't hear that.
He tries to get too stiff and hard. And
oh, what?
That's kind of how we took it. I liked the tone of that email. He made it sound like we're so good at our jobs that we are just telling, we're like an open book for the Patriots. We're telling so much that other teams can use. I liked the scout-like umbrella he put on
our coverage. My concern is just trying to give these people something that they're looking for.
The fans are going to suffer
finding ways to satisfy the questions that we get.
In your role as the second best blogger on the PFW blog.
Oh, I don't know if I'm that high. You revolutionized the whole industry.
Well, you are the only other guy who does anything.
You are the you revolutionized everything.
I have my role.
I know
the
it actually wasn't a shot. I think we've done a good job with the until it comes to a screeching halt now that the blog is rendered useless. Mm. But.
Let's see. Mitch, the Muffin
album
from Palm Harbor, Florida, says that Ashton Kutcher should play Tom Brady in the movie.
I can kind of see it. Mm. I don't love it, but...
He's such a clown, though. Brady's so serious.
Your phone ringing?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
For pride, honor, and victory. The time has come to defend our trophy, Superliga 2009. The rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos Laguna, Sunday, June 21st, 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. And remember, MLS Futbolito Tournament before the game. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to revolutionsoccer.net.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other.
For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for ACDC at Ticketmaster.com, the Gillette Stadium box office, or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. ACDC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
Coming up on All Access.
Hi, I'm Steve Burton. Coming up this week on Patriots All Access, we go one-on-one with running back Fred Taylor.
First impressions, great guys on the team.
We'll recap the Patriots OTAs and minicamp and give you a status report on quarterback Tom Brady.
We are not finished! We are not finished, fellas! We got two more in us, right?
And Scott Zolak sits down with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
We've all got a lot of work to do, got a long haul in front of us.
All that and more on Patriots All Access, Friday nights at 7 on WBZ-TV and Sunday mornings at 10 on TV38.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s of Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he'd rate it the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, yeah. Just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on mission. Statement right there. Wow. I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85. So I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Let's see. Any word from, no? What's her first name?
Rachel.
Rachel.
No word?
Oh, that's too bad. She was supposed to be on the show today. Talk about her dad getting into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Still a half hour left.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well.
What else, guys? We've been going through a lot of emails.
Senator Ferreira.
Talking about training camp. Anything else you want to bring up?
Will Fork
talked
before
yesterday? The end of the show. What?
Did we get to that?
Well, we were.
I didn't.
Will Fork is here.
We talked about it at the top of the show a little bit.
Yeah, and he's you know
going to
you
be
were,
here.
You yeah. were right, Fred.
I
didn't you predict that he would be here?
He predicted.
Yes, he was right. I was pretty sure that you know his type would be here. You know, he's not the type to get into all of this stuff. Really, he wants to play football, and $500,000. It's a lot of money for him.
Well, that's definitely
for anybody.
Yeah.
But even more for him, he never had the big. It's not like he's at the end of a $50
million. He's only
going to
make $2.2 million.
Right. Makes less than Mike Wright.
Right.
Imagine that. He makes,
less than Mike Wright.
Well, Wright re-signed, got $1.8 million, I think, in bonus money, reportedly. $600,000
That's 2.4
bonus,
right there.
Roster bonus. 600 salary. And, I mean, he's like three and change
so that's
workout bonus.
Wow.
$1 million more for the guy.
You know, I thought it was
backup.
Interesting at the golf tournament. I guess Robert Kraft met up with Will Fork and they were talking, and it was reported like that Robert told Will Fork, you know, this is tough. It's a tough business. It's too bad. That doesn't sound good to me. If
Robert said that yesterday.
Yeah, Robert said it during his
exchange. It sounds to me like, you know, the Patriots are, this is it. What we've got out there is what we're offering you, and, you know.
Certainly sounds – Vince feels that way because Vince said a number of times, I don't want to get to the end of the deal into the open market because then there's a good chance – or there's a chance that I won't be here, and I don't want that. I mean, he seems like he's really wants to – I know a lot of guys say that.
Yeah.
But he seems to kind of be emotionally and, and attached to this place, the teammate, the coaches.
I think the –
I buy it.
I think the teammates really mean a lot. The defensive linemen in particular, that's a tight group, and I think that – the way he talks about it, Andy's right. All the guys talk about that. They say things like that. But I get the impression that it's not just that.
Asante Samuel said it, and I said,
cliche.
Yeah.
I think he really, really loves playing with Ty Warren, Richard Seymour, Jarvis Green, you know, Mike Wright. I think those guys are very tight.
It's not just saying it. It's how it's said.
That's what
like
I mean.
Like you said, when you can read between the lines.
You get a vibe.
You read between Vince's lines.
You pick
and
up vibes.
He looks like he really does mean it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. You know, we got Seymour to they have to deal
well,
with.
That's the other thing. Maybe just Will Fork, Seymour, and Green will go somewhere else together if they want to play together so much. The one thing I didn't like that he said, which always annoys me when players say it, if it were up to me, I'd stay here. Well, it is. You can take as low a dollar figure as you want and stay.
Theoretically, I'm sure they'll offer you the veteran minimum
right.
if you want to come back.
I bet they'll even they'll go a little bit higher than that, Paul.
That's why I said theoretically.
I mean, so don't. Don't kid us with, you know, it's not up to me. It's up to them. Well, it's up to you on some level. It's a two-way street.
But give him credit. You know, and I told you that Andy and I were on the show last night, you know, with our old pal, Michael Felger. And, of course, Felgie's trying to start, you know,
poke
his shots at Vince, saying, you know, if you're going to have a holdout, hold out. You know, if you're trying to get a new contract extension, and the first time that something was mandatory, you just came right back and played. And I'm like, are we really going to sit here and kill a guy for saying that he signed a six-year contract and he's going to honor it? Is that really where we're going here?
Right.
We're going to criticize the guy for actually honoring his contract?
Right.
So, you know, that was typical Felger. Fred, you would have had batting practice with him.
Mario from San Benito says, I was wondering what you all thought about the depth at the quarterback position and how it compares to that of the 07 Patriots. I was also curious to know what you thought Matt Cassel could do with the Patriots in 07 had Brady gotten hurt. I ask because I remember very distinctly that in a blowout win against the Dolphins, Cassel was given playing time but quickly lost it after throwing a pick six to Jason Taylor, even though we had a good lead. This leads me to believe that the Pats probably didn't trust him very much as they would have eventually have to in 2008. Oh, and this other question goes to Mr. Perillo. Back in 1993, what were your thoughts about Drew Bledsoe coming out of college, and was he the player you were hoping the Patriots would draft first overall?
Oh, I love him.
yeah, that's
he was
not
flogging
really...
himself.
Well, I don't like to be ridiculously crude like Fred. Yeah. I watched, I remember, you know, he was the guy, it was him and Meyer, and I remember watching the bowl game. It was one of those stupid, you know,
the game that was
minor
in the snow?
Bowl. And he threw for about 360 yards, and I just looked at this guy winging it all over the field, and I said, that's the guy I want. And, yeah, he was very good. Was he Tom Brady? No, he wasn't, but he was very good. So I was excited when they drafted him, and I enjoyed watching him play. That game, by the way, I thought this was the case, but that, remember, they brought Cassel in against Miami, threw the pick to Taylor, and then they brought Brady back in, threw, I think, another bomb, and then they mopped up again, and Gutierrez mopped
right.
up.
Well, I think that was a teaching tool.
Absolutely.
A lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. Protect the ball, get your work in, and then we can trust you in these situations,
right.
And, you know, they obviously weren't happy.
Yeah, I don't think that was as much a lack of trust, or it was an emphatic way to prove a point that just kind of played out.
Yeah, and look, would Cassel have done what he did last year in 07? Probably not. Probably didn't have, you know, the same amount of experience, and it took him a while to even become the Cassel of last year. I mean, the first month and a half, 2 months of the season, he was okay. He was
right.
He was getting the job done, and then all of a sudden,
it started to click.
He started getting rid of the ball a little bit more efficiently and effectively. I thought he started getting the ball downfield a little bit more often, and then it culminated with those two back-to-back 400-yard games against the Jets and Dolphins. And by the end of the season, he was playing quarterback as well as anybody in the league.
Yeah. Josh from Arlington, you guys are crazy about Sammy Morris. Fans love Sammy Morris. What are you talking about, saying fans want to trade him? He's a bruiser. Morris trucking Whitner in Buffalo last year is one of my favorite plays of the year, right behind the Merriweather blitz fumble in Seattle in the rollout TD pass to Moss with no time left against the Jets. He is a beast. Just hope he can stay healthy.
We agree. A lot of fans don't. They write into us all the time on SPFW, and they think he should be out.
It's oft disrespected. Sometimes in words, sometimes by just omission in discussions of the running back position.
Nationally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was in the backfields, remember?
Yes.
They ranked the backfields, and it included quarterbacks and running backs. And for the Patriots, they listed under running back Lawrence Maroney
right.
and Fred
they left
Taylor.
Off
they didn't include Sammy Morris. Yet some other teams, I believe the Cowboys, had three running backs listed. So it wasn't like there was a rule you couldn't have three running backs. They just disregarded Sammy Morris.
What about Kevin Falk?
Oh, yeah.
He's
a little different in that he's a third down back, but... I agree. I mean, the committee that they have is pretty deep.
It is. Todd writes in, I think it's stupid to not allow live blogs from the open practices, especially coming from a new media-savvy organization like the Patriots. I often thought it would be nice if the Patriots.com had live webcams from open training camp practices. I think Belichick doesn't like that. More and more of his team workout are being forced open by the league, but he's taking it out on the wrong people, the fans. You know, the live webcam, the Washington Redskins tried that, and got in trouble because during a optional camp when there's no contact allowed, they had contact,
right.
And it was there for the world to see.
Oh,
I think it would be for every team.
Yeah.
I think at some point in every practice, a team could get in trouble during OTAs for contact. Because they're big men running around full speed and contact happens.
And sometimes you can't slow up.
They do different
quite so
drills.
Much or,
Paul and I talked
about,
like, there was a pass rush yesterday where the guy's rushing, the lineman's trying to get in the way. There's just naturally going to be a little bit of contact. And
I think TG and NJ has just hit the nail on the head. He says, oh, my God, I just figured out who Eric is. Eric is Squidward from SpongeBob SquarePants. You know he's right.
You watch SpongeBob SquarePants, do you?
I used to a lot. Yeah, I love.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great show.
You've never seen SpongeBob?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Do you know
but
who
never...
Squidward is?
No.
He's you.
Who is he?
Miserable as the day is long.
He's got a big nose,
miserable.
Too.
Only when I'm around you
he
guys.
He likes to think of himself as sophisticated.
Sophisticated.
He plays a clarinet.
He can't believe, he can't believe that he has to hang around with Patrick and SpongeBob. Because he's so much higher intellectually.
Right.
But yet he's working in the same place as SpongeBob.
I've made my mistakes. I'll
admit that.
Krusty
Krab.
Guess that means that Andy is SpongeBob, Paul is Mr. Krabs, and Fred is Patrick?
No. I would be Patrick, and Fred would be Mr. Krabs.
Fred, we don't care about Eric.
Wait,
I mean Squidward's hot iron. The running back that would get cut is Maroney. So that's what TG and NJ says.
Totally gay in New Jersey. Does it again. Yeah. Way to go, dumbass.
That's Dumas.
Chris Rigoli, who is one of our interns.
Oh, don't do it, Fred.
This is from Chris and Tony, the Soprano interns. He says, is the market value higher for Wilfork or Seymour? Who would you prefer to keep if the choice needed to be made? And I think it will.
Wilfork.
Next email.
You would keep him?
No.
Yeah.
Both.
So
I think the market value will be higher for Wilfork.
Yes.
And I think he'd be more important to keep.
Even though Wilfork is a two-down player.
Yes.
He doesn't have to be a two-down player, Fred.
I think even if he's a two-down player, I think he's a more, right now, at this stage, he's younger and plays a position that's harder to fill.
Two-down player. Interesting.
I love Seymour. You know that. I think Seymour is a tremendous player. And I think he had a pretty good year last year.
So does he.
Yeah.
Just listen to the interview we had with him last week.
But I think that the nose tackle is really, really – just look at what happened. They had Seymour in there in 01 as a rookie, and he kind of solidified things, and they moved him back out. They struggled in 02. Then in 03, who came? They really struggled, and who came aboard?
Mid-camp.
Ted Washington, mid-camp. All of a sudden, they were great again.
Right.
Then
– you tell me Monty Beisel might have been good, had come a little earlier? That was 2002, right?
Five. And they had Wilfork in trailer in 04 because they got Wilfork in that draft, and all of a sudden they were okay.
What if someone told you the Patriots, even though they're still technically a 3-4 team, they're going to be using so many different formations on defense that it'll be hard to tell?
Well, I want to see Wilfork play that tackle position too because I think he could.
Sure.
Okay.
And I still think you need a guy in there that's going to do what Wilfork does, whether it's in a 4-3, a 3-4, or 2-5, whatever it is. You need someone in there that's going to...
Thanks, Bill. You always could have three examples.
Exactly.
Bill
that's exactly where I was going with that. You need a guy that's going to occupy blockers and do it effectively like Wilfork does. And you had the quotes from Mike Wright.
Yes.
Tuesday. Right. He's talking about he's a tree stump.
He's a tree stump who just stands in there and throws people around.
Yeah. I mean, and he said I can't do that. Yeah. Wright said that.
There's not a lot of people on this planet that can.
Yeah.
They don't grow on trees. Imagine if they did.
Tree stumps don't grow on trees?
No.
So I would love to have Seymour back.
Tree.
I don't want to kiss Seymour. But first of all, I don't think they need to make a decision. I think they could easily sign them both if they wanted to. I don't think that they will.
Easily?
I don't know about easily.
I don't know about easily.
Yes, I think easily.
I don't agree with easily.
What?
Rachel's on the phone.
Oh, okay, great. Well, as we teased everyone, Jim Nance was elected into the Patriots Hall of Fame yesterday by the fans after being one of the three nominees by the committee. And on the phone right now is Jim Nance's daughter, Rachel. Rachel, how you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys have no idea. I'm so, so excited.
So you know, you're excited. You know, how did you actually feel when you got the news that your father had been elected? You know, what kind of memories did it bring back? You know, tell us all about it.
Well, it's been an emotional roller coaster, really, actually, since last year, around the same time when Stacey let me know that he was nominated. Last year was amazing. Simply having him be one of the three finalists was kind of just such a great experience, because that's when all of the stories came out. That's when people started sending me old football cards, old stories, covers that he was on, magazine articles, and that's when I really got to relive a lot of his great career. And it was incredibly disappointing that he didn't get it last year, but again, it was simply the recognition was a huge honor for all of us, and my family and my mom and his entire family was just so happy that he was recognized in that way. But this year, having him actually win and having the fans speak on his behalf, I can't even express how happy I am. And I've been hearing amazing stories, and I've gotten such amazing feedback from people in Boston, from people all over the country that remember him playing. And it makes me feel so great. I'm so proud. And I never got to see him play, so I get to live vicariously through these stories, and it's just awesome.
Okay, so well, that was going to be my next question is, you know, do you have any memories? But I take it you were a lot too young, or maybe
weren't
even born.
Yeah, I wasn't even around. When he actually played, he retired before I was born. But I've seen a lot of the old footage and even, you know, the clips that the Patriots put online during the voting process, you know, all of that stuff. Just seeing him in motion is so amazing to me, because he's been gone for a while, and most of my life he was handicapped, and he wasn't a strong, you know, athlete that I see in those old films and those old reels. So it's amazing just to watch the old footage, and I miss him. I wish I could have seen him play, but hearing the people that saw him play and how much of a powerhouse he was, and even hearing, you know, when I got the word, Gino Capoletti was on the phone for a minute as well, and he said something that resonated just in the fact that my dad was a very pivotal player and made a pivotal contribution during a very pivotal time for the franchise. And that means so much that he made a lasting contribution on such an amazing franchise.
Rachel, how much did your dad talk about his playing days to you or to friends or other family members that you can recall?
Often, all the time. And that's part of the reason why I'm so proud of this award and so excited about it, is because the Patriots were such a huge part of his life, and it was such a huge part of his life that I didn't really get to share with him, because it all happened before I was around. So this is really a way for me to reconnect with him. And again, it's kind of all ironically happening around Father's Day, as it did last year, which is amazing, because it's a way for me to celebrate him and Father's Day and in a way that, you know, I never could have, and to kind of, for me to be a part of something that was such a big part of his life.
And what was your celebration like with you and your family and friends? I would imagine you're pretty excited, but what was it like yesterday when you found out?
Well, yesterday I found out. It was all kind of crazy. I was in meetings at work, and I came back to my desk, and I've literally been waiting since the voting ended to hear from Stacey, and I was hoping not to hear from Stacey, because last year I knew that when I heard from Stacey it was bad news. I wanted a call from Mr. Kraft, so I was just waiting for the phone to ring, and I came back, and I had a couple voicemails. The red light was on, but then I also had my BlackBerry on my desk, and Mom had had emailed me on Messenger and said, you know, he's in. So I knew what I was hearing before I even made the call back to Stacey. But I share an office with a couple folks, and I was jumping up and down, screaming for a couple minutes, and then it was just very emotional. It was really amazing.
Now, where do you live now? Where do you call
I'm
home?
In New York.
Have you been to a Patriots game here at Gillette Stadium?
I have not. I'm very excited to this summer. I actually did get to see the museum before it opened to the public. I worked with Stacey to get some of our, in Brent, actually, out in New England, to get some of our, to get some of my dad's stuff in there. So he has a great exhibit that I know Brent worked really hard on. So I was able to kind of see and get a walkthrough before it actually opened, but I'm really excited to see the finished product too. So
what will be the plans this summer? Have they told you, you know, when you'll be coming and what to expect?
Yeah, I know that the game, there's the first preseason game, I believe, is on the 20th, and that's kind of when the whole alumni weekend is going to kick off. So we will be out there, and we'll be out there for the game. And then from what I understand, there's going to be events going on throughout the weekend for all the alumni and their families. So I think there's maybe a dinner and a ceremony and then a practice on Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to just kind of experiencing all of it and also just seeing some of his old teammates and their families. And I know my mom is really excited to see some of the old guys and their wives and everybody kind of all grown up years later.
Well, that's great. And I think he is now the 15th person.
14th
person to be elected into the – so it's a small group still.
14th player, I believe, 15th – person because Billy Sullivan
exactly.
Oh, he's a contributor.
Right. So
14th player.
And we did get, Rachel, the cover of the Sports Illustrated back in 1966, I want to say.
Yeah, December of 66.
With Jim on the cover, and we'll be putting that'll be part of our next issue of PFW. We'll have that in there with the news of Jim Nance's induction into the Hall of Fame.
So cool. I'm so, so excited. This is awesome. And I just want to thank all of you, everyone in Boston, everyone who got online and voted. This means so much to us.
All right. Well, Rachel, we appreciate you taking time. And again, congratulations.
This is a huge honor
and one that is well earned.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Rachel. Rachel Nance, daughter of Jim Nance, now part of the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's nice of her to join us. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap it up.
For pride, honor, and victory. The time has come to defend our trophy, Superliga 2009. The rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos Laguna, Sunday, June 21st, 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. And remember, MLS Futbolito Tournament before the game. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to revolutionsoccer.net.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Coming up on All Access.
Hi, I'm Steve Burton. Coming up this week on Patriots All Access, we go one-on-one with running back Fred Taylor.
First impressions, great guys on the team.
We'll recap the Patriots OTAs and minicamp and give you a status report on quarterback Tom Brady.
We are not finished! We are not finished, fellas! We got two more in us, right?
And Scott Zolak sits down with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
We've all got a lot of work to do. We've got a long haul in front of us.
All that and more on Patriots All Access. Friday nights at 7 on WBZ-TV and Sunday mornings at 10 on TV 38.
Okay, back here in PFW Farmers, that was Rachel Nance before the break calling in and giving us a chance to congratulate her on her dad's election into the Patriots Hall of Fame. So that's a lot of stuff going on this summer here at Gillette Stadium.
All of the stuff going on right now.
Yeah, all year.
One of them being the induction of Jim Nance. Okay, so Stevie in New Hampshire writes in. He says, wanted to call in and talk about a few things yet. I know you need the line open for daughter of Jim Nance's interview, which we just did, so I'll try later. But until then, I really wanted to send you this. Hey, Eric, please read this a couple of times, and I do ask that you read this on the air. Bro, you are the best, and I believe you'll give this its true inflection. And so this is a poem, Ode of PFW, and Eric's going to read it to close out the show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the year, there's always PFW on the air. And during the season, we can be blessed with more, where men will be men and boys will be boys. Eric, you're in there. Just where? Not sure. You're still the best writer with kicker burdens to endure. And Andy, well, quick-witted, yet immature for sure. Paul, always thinking, an excitable boy. Just put down Drew, where his rant is a chore. Fred, you are the captain of the PFW 93, a ship full of nitwits across both land and the sea. Though some may question your mission, its purpose, and for what, I know you volunteered, and for that, thank you's a must. Just as women have the view for its insight of their lives, a toast to you guys for enabling the PFW way of life. We're just Pat's whores with addictions, and you're the best Johns of our lives. You keep coming back and giving at every corner of New England Patriots football life.
Wow.
Ode to PFW by Stevie in New Hampshire.
Yeah, the though I would have read thou.
But I think he meant though.
It. Yeah.
I think he meant though.
That's why he wanted you to read it, because yes, I would actually read what he wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Well done, Stevie. Yet another listener writing a poem or a lyrical ode to the show. Yeah, it's
very,
really becoming
very creative.
It's overwhelming in a way, Fred.
Let's see. Chris with the TIN Classic yesterday with Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots. Please tell me you guys caught the little evil chuckle when a reporter asked him how much fun it is having Rex Ryan in the division. I was dying. Below is a Fred Kirsch-like translation of Belichick's answers to two of yesterday's questions. On Rex Ryan, Belichick says, well, you know, I have a lot of respect for Rex and what he did in Baltimore. Translation, I think he sucks and I could outcoach him on my worst day. Let's see. On Rex Ryan, on the Jets, Belichick, we've always had great battles with the Jets, so I'm sure that will continue. It's a good rivalry. They beat us up here last year. They kind of got the last punch in on that one, so we'll have to. It's a new year. Translation, we own the Jets. When we're up by 40 in the fourth quarter, I will still have Brady chucking it downfield. After all, we're just out there playing. Just out there playing. I mean, what do you want us to do? Kick a field goal? All right, guys, but seriously, I do have a concern about this. The following. Who takes Rodney's physical presence on the field this year? Do we have a guy, Merriweather, Sanders, Mayo, AD, Chung, if he starts? I think he will definitely be missed. I know I'll miss him. I think he is the best free agent signing of the Belichick era.
I think Sanders will take up the leadership role back there. I'm not sure if he's quite the physical, hard-hitting player that Rodney was. I'm kind of interested to see if Chung is that player, because that's what we've been hearing about since he's been drafted. But how much time he'll get on the field to actually prove that, you know, we don't really know yet. But as far as Rodney's leadership, I think Sanders is ready, and especially with the comments he made about, you know, re-signing here, and because Bill talking to him about how he wants him to be a presence out there, I think you won't see much of a drop-off in that regard. But the physical part remains up in the air.
Paul, anything to add before we...
I think Eric's... version was pretty much in line with what we're all thinking.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Let's see. We have another practice tomorrow. So
back to regular times next week.
Right. Log on to Patriots.com tomorrow to get the wrap-up of the week of mini camp. And like Paul said, next week we're back to 12 o'clock. And that will stay the same until we get to training camp. Yeah. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.